about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Oh, yeah. Yeah, ladies, mm-hmm. Gather around. Ready for a show.
Come on, baby Bubba. Yeah. Wait, yep.
You want some of this?
I know you do.
Nice.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
This is Frank McDowell, my own TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Attention, citizens of California. Severe taco warning has been issued for California. It's going to be a lot of tacos will be falling from the sky in the state of California. It's going to bring a ton of tacos will be falling from the sky in the state of California and the surrounding areas. People in California, you need to be prepared for a lot of tacos.
And now, Kevin and Bean have surrounded themselves by talented people. You know, they're talented, but they've always made sure that they're the least talented people in the room.
Our feature presentation.
That's true. A and B, what's Frankie talking about?
Apparently tacos are about to fall from the sky.
But most of the time...
I don't have any other details. He's the meteorologist, not me. So, I can't read a weather map.
So far, all of his predictions involve weather.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's saying tacos are going to fall from the sky.
Now, I don't know if Frankie got a sponsorship deal.
If
he did, he never got around to naming a client.
That's true.
So,
Hey, Taco Bell here. Listen, mention our name.
By the way, that would be very smart marketing.
Yes,
why not? Be a very popular post. So I don't know what's going on with young Frankie McDonald, but apparently good news for Californians because free tacos, everyone.
It's Wednesday morning. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is the 27th of May.
How are you, Allie?
I'm doing great, Bean. How are you?
I like your glasses.
Oh, thank you. Go ahead. Say it.
Somehow when...
Say what?
Just saying what you said.
I can't compliment a lady in the workplace anymore.
No, you can't.
He didn't say daddy like.
I just said I like your glasses.
Right.
That's all I said.
I know. It's not what you're saying. It's how you're saying it.
We already knew she would never marry, but now it's official. Okay, that's what you wanted. That's what you wanted. All right, here's the story you refused yesterday, but I'm forcing it on you today. This is the mom in Australia who's breastfeeding her daughter at age 6.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about breastfeeding, Kevin. I don't know. How old are you usually when you stop the breastfeeding? How old were you when you stopped breastfeeding your children? 3, 2?
Yeah, I would think even younger than that. I don't remember because
Allie, do you know?
I feel like 2 and under is somewhat the norm.
Maybe and then even, the goal, yeah. And then the goal is you try to get them switched over to soft food and then harder food, and
right.
Then they're eating like humans, right?
Right?
Well, this woman is named.
They're all
Maha.
Humans, by the way. When they're babies, they're eating like humans as well.
Not technically.
Okay.
All right, Maha Almuza. She is 52 years old. She lives in Byron Bay, Australia, and she's created quite the kerfuffle. She appeared in the Australian magazine called Woman's Day, the June issue. And there are photos of her breastfeeding in a local park. Here's a little bit more about Maha, by the way. She follows a strict paleo diet, and she believes strongly in the power of breast milk and says it's the reason that she has never had her daughter immunized.
Oh, good.
So she's one of those. Here's what she wrote on Facebook. There is no one forcing anyone to do natural term breastfeeding. If one woman feels comfortable and another uncomfortable, then so be it. It is when we start woman to woman demeaning, diminishing, judging, and demoralizing our personal choices that it becomes unnecessary. We're all different. Each baby and child is different. And acceptance is the way of the heart. Natural age of the child led weaning is 7 to 8, she says.
Seven to eight.
She anticipates breastfeeding her daughter for another 2 years, she says.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
She says, I might stop when she's 8. She says her daughter loves it, by the way. Her daughter, by the way, interviewed in the piece, said more kids should breastfeed later because it's good for you. I wonder where she got that idea. I wonder where the 6-year-old heard. She was asked what her mom's breast milk tastes like, and she responded, sometimes it tastes like candy canes. It tastes like a lot of different things.
Now, like
breast
whiskey.
Milk. Yeah, I bet whiskey is one of the options. Breast milk, I would imagine, would naturally be affected by whatever the mother's diet is, right? So, the lady, by the way, who I don't think I would get along with. She runs a creative arts spiritual birth preparation class and also a prenatal belly dance class. So she apparently has a lot of interest in children.
Hmm.
She also stars, Kevin, you'll be happy to know, as a featured interview on the Discovery Channel's Extreme Breastfeeding series.
Huh.
Now, is this a challenge? Is this one of those challenge things where they try to fight each other to become the champion?
See who can breastfeed the most
My
or the fastest?
My kid is 19. I win. Woo!
See who can breastfeed while skydiving? Who knows what kind of
what
crazy
the
things
hell?
They could ask him to do. I don't know if we have on our Discovery Channel in America, I don't know if we have extreme breastfeeding, but we may want to look into that. She says she admits, in fact, she has faced a backlash over her comments, but again, stresses that it's her choice, and she also enjoys the bonding time she has with her daughter. But it is weird to see the photo of a six-year-old at her mother's breast because, you know, six-year-old is pretty big.
Yeah.
This is not a babe in arms. I mean, she couldn't carry her, so... Anyway, I don't know how they're going to end up. Like, what's this girl's future? Are there psychologically is there damage to be done for a 6-year old still breastfeeding, or no? Is it strictly just a social norm or diet thing?
I don't know, but I don't know how many years it's going to be between now and when other kids might start making fun of that kid.
Right.
Oh, she has to be well past that.
I would think so, especially now that it's in the news.
Yeah.
So.
And I can't imagine weaning off once you've gone 6 years can. Be very easy. Wouldn't she be somewhat sick when she introduces normal milk or whatever?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
She'd be getting less whiskey in her diet.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Which is sad.
Got that going for her. Well, good times, everybody.
All right. Hey. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Beecho, shall we?
It's refreshing, yet displeasing to the eye.
There's a televangelist that says that if you masturbate, your hand will get pregnant.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that at this time yesterday, and it made perfect sense to you then. Are you now questioning it? Do you have some time to go home and think about it?
I have thought more about it, and your hand will get pregnant.
Right.
If you masturbate.
Yeah.
That's what's being said.
Well, we may need to investigate that further on today's show.
The guy says that if...
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also have Real King, Fake King on the program today, where Bean, strangely, makes fun of Larry King's tweets.
I'm not making fun of Larry. I'm just spotlighting how excellent he is on
right.
the Twitter machine.
That's what I meant, yeah. We have a new feature called Hey Allie, What's Up?
I'm looking forward to this.
I don't know if I am.
Should be a lot of fun. You shouldn't be.
Okay.
And comedian Jay Moore will be in the studio as well. And we've got your tickets for you two at the Roxy this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat Next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Look, it's Ralph Garman.
What the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's happening with her.
Me either.
Who says
you guys don't speak Chip?
I will pull this show over. I will just, you'll all get out.
But, are you going to turn around and make us go home?
No, I'm just going to leave you by the side of the road.
But just Chip. We didn't do anything yet. It was only Chip so far.
It's a matter of time before
okay,
you do
true.
Something. Come on. This was fascinating to me as we start the Showbiz Beat. The Nielsen Company, you may be familiar with them. They track TV and whatnot. They're good at rating stuff.
Yeah.
They track radio, too. They're the ones who own the ratings
what
company
the?
For radio as well.
I thought that was Arbitron.
No.
The old days.
Bought them out.
It was the old days? Huh, look at that. Well, then we love Nielsen and everything that they do. And they have a marketing department, as you can imagine, that, amongst other things, studies celebrities.
Okay.
Who, largely those who pitch products and then rank them in the most successful.
Okay.
In terms of if you are a company and you want to hire a celebrity to hawk your product, these are the most trustworthy, the most liked. The public has most awareness of them. They have the most influence and other factors in terms
is
of
this the famous Q rating, Ralph. Is that what this is?
This would not be the Q rating, Bean, but God bless you. Q rating is mostly likability and awareness just in terms of high profile on television.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is specifically aimed towards advertisers. These are celebrities who have or are open to advertising and have had enormous success in the past due to these various factors that they've compiled.
Okay.
It's an interesting list, and I think you will enjoy it.
Can we take a guess at who might be most popular?
I would love for you guys to take a guess. That's what I live for.
Bill Cosby comes to mind.
He is number one. Absolutely. Number one.
You know,
very popular
TV show.
With the big pharma companies. If you're going to dose somebody, you want Bill doing your I always use the brand of pill
We're calling this the sleepy time.
I'm going to say Michael Jordan because of his continued.
That is a great guess. Not in the top 10.
Come on.
Jamie Lee Curtis makes me want to eat yogurt for ladies.
Yes, and poop well.
Yep.
No, she is not on the list.
Right. Not on the list. Are all of these people are people who we probably see on TV often hawking their wares around?
See and or hear.
Okay.
Oh, voiceover.
If you have a spokesperson doing a big-time voiceover, also very successful as well.
All right, I'm going to, on that note, I'm going to say the one that I always notice, because he's so excellent on radio commercials, is Michael Douglas.
Ah, Michael Douglas. No.
What about Roz from Frasier? She does a lot of... She did Wells Fargo and all those ads.
I should have been clear, Allie. I apologize.
Real people?
These are celebrities.
Voiceover. She has a very...
But once again, I think I established early on, this is the world of celebrity endorsements.
Huh.
I don't believe Roz from Frasier is going to be in the top 10 of celebrity endorsers.
Okay.
I have a guess, and it is Flo, the progressive insurance lady.
Oh, Flo! I will pull this show over and make you all get out. Let's try this again. These are celebrity endorsements.
I see.
Okay, so Wilford Brimley.
This isn't Perry Gilpin from Frasier or Roz, the insurance lady, who, to the best of my knowledge, is not a celebrity.
All right, I have one.
Yeah.
If you say something half-assed, I will come around this console.
Morgan Freeman.
That is a great guess. Finally playing the game, Kevin, but no.
What?
No Morgan Freeman?
How about Matthew McConaughey?
Third on the list. Oh. Now we're talking.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Third on the list. Sam Jackson not on the list of top 10 celebrity endorsers.
How about Mr. William Shatner?
Ah, that is a great guess. That is also not on the top 10.
We're terrible.
You are not good at this. Well, you started off poorly, I think, with Roz and Flo. I think maybe have eaten up some precious time that could be used for better guesses.
Yeah.
Joan Jett
and the Blackhearts.
Rodney.
Number two on the list, Joan Jett. Rodney, I'm sorry.
Adele Dazeem.
Adele never made the list.
Pop music star, Falco.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Ringo. Now you're not taking this seriously, I feel.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
That's a good question. That's a good guess.
Once again, I fear perhaps you've just given up.
So we've only got 1 out of 10.
1 out of 10.
Okay.
Ellen DeGeneres.
I will break you.
Oh.
When's the last time you started doing a commercial?
Yesterday.
For? Yeah. What was that product, Allie?
Tissue.
All right, give us.
How about Julie Louis-Dreyfus? Julie Louis-Dreyfus from the Old Navy commercials.
Not on the list.
Come on. She's popular and people like her. She's a well-loved celebrity.
I'm not saying she's not any of those things.
How about?
I'm just saying she's not on the list.
How about her co-star Jerry Seinfeld for American Express and other products?
No.
Athletes? Musicians?
No, these are all performers. These are all actors.
Actors.
Actors, actresses.
Alec Baldwin? Did we already say that?
You didn't, but it's wrong.
Okay.
So feel free not to say it.
All right. How about Alec Baldwin? I couldn't even say it right.
You couldn't even get it out.
Jim Morrison.
Maybe
Alec Baldwin?
Maybe you should just tell us what's
on. I think maybe that would be for the best.
As right. Corbin Burnson.
I'm going to work you up 10 to 1.
All right.
Okay, here you go. J.K. Simmons from Law & Order and Whiplash.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course,
he is
the face of Farmers Insurance, of course.
That's
one of the most beloved, trusted, and likable personalities in celebrity endorsements today. There you go. Dennis Haysbert from 24.
Sure.
Of course, does all those Allstate commercials and apparently has a huge trustworthy factor with the audience.
Your list is better than ours.
So far, so good. Jim Parsons of The Big Bang Theory.
What's he advertise?
Advertises the tech thing. Oh, Cisco? No.
I don't remember that.
He does a thing where he's at the factory and he's talking about all the things that they can do now with the technology and stuff.
Right, I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sofia Vergara from Modern Family. And Natalie Portman. Natalie Portman is now selling, Chanel, I believe.
Yeah,
Chanel
number 5.
Yeah.
All right.
Those are the bottom 5.
Okay.
The top 5, Jennifer Garner.
Ah.
Didn't think about her.
Oh, she has some sort of hair product or
face product or something.
Yes, and she also, she has Neutrogena, I believe, and also What's in Your Wallet, the Capital One.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Bridges.
Come
on. America loves Jeff Bridges.
He does a lot of voiceover stuff.
Ton of stuff. For EverReady Battery and for Hyundai automobiles. Ton of voiceover stuff. Surprised you guys didn't name this one because he was very high profile with his commercials, series of commercials for the Lincoln automobile, Matthew McConaughey.
Well, Kevin mentioned that.
I did say that.
When?
Matthew McConaughey. You told us it was number three.
You said it was number three.
Okay. I'll give that one. Okay, right. Pierce Brosnan.
Didn't think of that.
I didn't.
Okay.
And the number one, Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson, the number one celebrity endorser. If you can get Liam Neeson to promote your product, you win.
Dick Poop.
No, Dick Poop did not this year. Did not.
I think the list is over. Gave us all top 10.
Pretty sure we've got it all. All right, I'm out of time. That was fun, though. That was a lot of fun.
We're terrible.
Yeah, it was great. Roz, I think, may be my favorite guest of anything we've ever asked of any question ever. Today's celebrity birthdays. These people all born on today.
My name is Iqbal Banochak.
May 27th. We're done with the list. I think, Bean, you can stop guessing it.
I'm Yul Gibbons.
Yul Gibbons did not, once again this year, make the list. Chris Colfer of Glee fame is 25 years old today. Andre 3000 from OutKast, and, of course, an actor as well, 40 years old. Jack McBrayer. How much do we love Jack McBrayer?
He's awesome.
From 30 Rock, 42 years old. Paul Bettany. You know him as the Vision of the Avengers. And also he was in Beautiful Mind and a ton of other good films. 44 years old today. Speaking of that, Beautiful Mind guy.
Yeah, the real guy, right?
Yeah, Nash. Died in a tough car way to crash go this week. It was rough. Joseph Fiennes. Shakespeare in Love. Maybe you know him from that. 45 years old today. What was that series he had that we liked, Kevin, you and I, where he played a guy and it was like a conspiracy thing and there was... Joseph Fiennes.
Was it a sci-fi?
It was a sci-fi cop detective kind of thing.
I am being told that it is called Flash Forward.
Flash Forward, that was it.
Who's telling you that?
That was Beaver's
voices. He's by himself.
Beaver's voices. One of his dogs.
There's no one around him.
Flash Forward. Rolled over.
It was our little friend Casey the Button Girl.
Ah, there you go.
Always domestic.
Good series. I liked it.
Got it.
Todd Bridges of Different Strokes is 50 years old. Louis Gossett Jr., 79 years old today. And a friend of the show, Adam Carolla, celebrates his 51st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedian, actor, sports radio talk show host, Jay Moore, joins us next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. And then at 8 o'clock, we give you another chance to earn your way into U2 at the Roxy, which, by the way, if I'm doing the math correctly, is tomorrow night.
That's right. There's no math, really. It's today's Wednesday, tomorrow's Thursday.
Oh, when you explain it like that, it makes it so easy to understand.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave the Swole Kangaroo is terrorizing a neighborhood in Australia right now. And I know this sounds like something that we would just make up. This kangaroo is freaking huge.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. This kangaroo must have done some weightlifting. I don't understand how toned it is, how it's got muscle definition.
Yeah. He is, what did you say, Ali? He's 6'5"?
6'5", 210. He's 210. Jacked.
He's jacked. He's ripped. And he's got a tear in his ear that makes us think that he's seen stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's
like
seen
some
stuff, for sure.
Yeah, he can defend himself. Now, so far, he hasn't attacked anybody, but he is terrorizing the neighborhood in Australia by just showing up and standing in the middle of the road and stopping cars from going by. You know, little dogs are out on walks and are running from him. I mean, Dave the Swole Kangaroo is not to be trifled with, my friends.
Here's what one woman said.
He's very intimidating. He's a big boy. He's got massive muscles, big pecs and everything.
She's talking about a kangaroo.
She is.
Let's head to Brisbane and find out what's going on with Dave the Swole Kangaroo, who I believe joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Dave.
Oi, how you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm working out.
You're working out.
Getting huge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's right. You got something to say about it?
Well, I mean, why? Why does a kangaroo need to be so buff?
Why do you need to be so stupid?
Wow.
Come on! I'll fight you right now.
Nobody wants to fight you, Dave.
I don't want to fight.
I'll punch you so hard, it'll hurt.
Right. That is hard.
Yeah.
But why does a kangaroo, I mean, for the kinds of food that you catch and eat, you don't really need to wrestle anybody.
So now you're stereotyping me.
Yeah, Bean.
What kind of food do I eat?
What does he eat, Bean?
I don't know.
I'm on Dave's side.
Nuts?
don't really know. I don't think you're catching alligators, though.
Kangaroos are well known for their love of nuts.
I don't know what kangaroos eat.
Well, then how do you know what I need to catch it?
Well, because I don't think I've ever heard or seen a video of a kangaroo, like I said, wrestling an alligator or taking down a buffalo. I mean, you're not out there catching big prey, are you?
You know how hard it is to get a nut in Australia?
No, we're not. We don't know.
You got to go to those nut farmers and shake them down.
Right.
Say, hey, give me a big sack of nuts. Why want your nut sack?
I just thought you eat like plants and stuff. I just am trying to figure out why you're working out so much. That's all. Oh, what's happening here, Dave?
I'm jumping.
Okay.
Dave, can you tell us how you hurt your ear? It seems to be torn.
Oh, yeah, that's a story for Sheila.
Okay.
I was looking at this bloke across the bar from me, and he's giving me a stink eye, right?
Uh-huh.
So I went up to him and I said, "Oi, what's up with you?" And he was a koala. I hate koalas.
Mm-hmm, right.
They carry syphilis.
Do they? Okay.
That's right. So I said, "Hey, I want that bowl of nuts you got for you at the bar."
And would he give them to you?
Because kangaroos love nuts. Everyone knows that.
That's what I've heard.
I've heard that.
And so this syphilitic koala says no to me. And I said, "Right, let's take it outside." So we go outside, and there, unbeknownst to me, were a dozen of his koala buddies.
Oh, he lured you into a trap.
He suckered me out there to get jumped in by a koala gang.
Oh, that's rough, man. The mean streets of Brisbane.
And they tore my ear. They kicked me in the ribs.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Right, no one's ever going to do that to me again." And that's when I got into the gym. Now, look how huge I am.
You are huge.
You're really big.
I am enormous.
Yeah.
And not just my pecs and my biceps. I'm enormous when it counts, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, take a look at this.
Jeez. I think we need any of that, Dave. Is that...
I can blow me own didgeridoo.
I don't know what's about to happen, but Allie has a look on her face like this is an intervention.
What's about to happen is...
an intervention.
Hey, Allie, what's up?
Hey, Allie. Hey, Allie. Sweet little buttercup. Hey, Allie. Hey, Allie. What's up? Hey, Allie. Hey, Allie. What the hell are you talking about? Hey, Allie. Hey, Allie. What's up?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
So we've been working with Allie for a while now, and she has a lot of idiosyncrasies, I think would be the word. Like, she brings in, I don't know, 6 or 7 bags.
She's a bag lady.
With a smaller bag inside.
Do we know if she has a home?
See, that's where this is going, is I think she's living in her car. I'm pretty sure Allie's living in her car.
How many bags do you bring into the studio on any given day, Allie?
I bring in 2. I keep 1 here with the stuff that I bring into the studio, which I then put into another bag just to make it compact.
So,
I've seen 2 or 3 bags inside bags that you're carrying.
Yeah, that's true.
Bags within bags.
Sure.
And then inside...
don't say sure.
That doesn't make it more bags. It's bags within bags, so it's just in the bag.
But then at the very bottom of
sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
At the very bottom of the bag in a bag, there's a cooler.
There's a bag in the bag in the bag.
And
the bag
that
has a cooler.
And in the cooler, you bring your own soda.
Sure.
And then this...
What are you afraid of? Why do you have to bring your own soda?
Why would I spend money on soda when I can buy them in bulk and then save money and have a tasty treat?
She's got a pallet of soda at home from Costco.
I'm saying that's her refrigerator, is that little cooler in her car. That's what I'm saying. The other day somebody delivered food and I was like, "Hey, does anybody know where you can get a knife or a fork?" She pulls one out like it was right there ready to go.
She did
actual
have
silverware.
She had a ready-to-go knife and fork in the pocket of her bag.
I was like, what's happening?
And a napkin.
And a napkin.
The other day, she wanted to buy a soda, and she went to the locker and got a bag of coins
out. Let's talk about your Ziploc bag full of change.
Okay.
Who has a bag of coins?
I have a jar at home that I put all my coins into.
Home. And when you say home, you mean your car.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That I put change into.
Right.
I have amassed a lot of change.
Right.
Right.
So
who dumps half of it into a Ziploc bag and carries it around?
A lot of times people want something from the vending machine. They say, "Can you break a 5? No, But I've got this bag of change.
By the way, you could break a 20 with that bag of change.
I could.
Can I interrupt where Allie is getting all this change? Do you spend the time after the show sitting in front of a 7-Eleven with a styrofoam cup?
I do not.
I have seen her at the off-ramp
playing a clarinet.
Do we know that she actually has a car, or is that her shopping cart in the parking lot?
I have a car.
She does have a car.
That's why we think she lives there.
But then she tells stories of, like, her neighbors that no one's ever seen, and she's going out with a bunch of friends. We're like, do you really have friends? And she's like, yeah, I have Shirley and
Bill.
Betty.
Bill, William. Bilbo.
I don't think she has a home.
Nope.
Wow. I don't think she has friends.
Nope.
Wow.
Well, she's watching hockey somewhere, you guys.
Yes. Right. Through a window
at a Best Buy.
She's
at the wall of screens.
She sees every game until the store closes.
What?
Can you flip over to MSNBC? Thank you.
So this morning I came in and she pulls out a Ziploc bag again.
What's now? What's she got in the bag now?
Straws. She had a bag of straws. And I said, okay, why do you have a bag of straws? And she said, because I don't want to get mouth cancer. Little rats run all over those cans of soda.
Well, when you live in the outdoors, they do, sure. If you're pitching a tent under a freeway overpass, then you're going to have some rat issues
don't
you got to deal with.
So she has a bag with clothes. She has a bag with the bag. She has a cooler with food. She has utensils at all times.
A bag of change.
She has a bag of change and a bag of straws. And no real neighbors or friends that we can tell.
A bag of hay and a bag of bricks. And there's a wolf that keeps following around, threatening to blow her bag down.
She is awfully compartmentalized.
Hey, Allie, what's up?
Do you live someplace other than your car?
I do.
No,
I have
but
a
seriously.
Home. I have a home.
Right, but yeah. I know that's what you call your car, but I'm saying most of us... Maybe an apartment or a house. Mm-hmm. Do you have a permanent structure?
Yeah, yeah.
You
I get
mail
there.
Delivered
yep.
someplace.
Sure do.
Huh.
Wow.
I'd like to invite you over.
No, I'm busy.
You know what? I can stay in my own car.
How dare you?
Who's got time for that?
Hey, Allie, what's up?
I don't know. It's just I've never seen anybody is more prepared.
You're an eccentric little kitten.
Did you use that fork when I gave it to you? And were you like, hey, thanks so much for the fork. That's helpful.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Are you earning badges for something? you have a sash that you put your fork badge on and your coin preparedness badge? Are you working towards something?
I mean, I was happy to have it, but I was more intrigued that you would carry it around at all times. Just in case you had a plastic fork emergency.
Who carries forks?
Well, a lot of times you get food delivered. Whoever's bringing it might forget.
How do you go about life like this? It's exhausting just to talk about it.
It's not exhausting. It's less exhausting than if I didn't have a fork. I'd be thinking, God, if I only had a fork.
How often
but
does
I don't
that happen?
Never. Thank God.
Because she has a fork.
Yes.
Wow.
This is hurtful.
Do you wear a utility belt? Are you like the Batman of broadcasting?
Live in a cave? Under the ground? Yeah.
I reject this.
You're a weird little otter.
Okay. You can't reject it. This is just us guessing because there's no concrete facts. There's nothing there. You tell us stories. They don't sound real. I don't think you have a house. I don't think you have friends.
I have friends.
Name them.
Could we see them?
Sure.
If they were in the room, would we be able to see them? That's what I mean.
Hey, Allie, what's up?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Good morning!
Good morning to you too, Ralph Garman. What's going on in the showbiz beat?
Can I request something of The Kevin and Bean Show? Why? We add a new feature.
Okay.
Where we examine Kevin Ryder's tweets.
What's wrong with my tweets?
You're just kind of magic. That's all.
Is this just spelling?
No, it's magic. It's just like he just tweeted that Jay Moore is here. Not here, by the way. Jay Moore has not arrived yet. he the best.
I put he the best?
Yes. He the best. Bus most of the time. Bus most of the time. I have no idea what he's talking about. Then Kevin posted a picture of Scott Kahn underneath the
tweet. I wondered if that was really Jay Moore.
It looks like Jay Moore.
No.
But it's not Jay Moore. Scott Kahn.
All right. So what?
No, I'm curious to know.
So how many
if
mistakes?
If you look at the tweet in total.
Hold on.
Jay Moore is here. No, he's not here. He the best busts most of the time. I have no idea what he's talking about. I don't know what that's in reference to. And then a picture of Scott Kahn is featured underneath the tweet. And I'm not sure what Scott Kahn has to do with the conversation at all. Except maybe he told you how to spell butt with an S.
That's an astonishing assortment of wrong in one tiny little 140 characters.
I had the wind knocked out of me when I read that tweet, and that rarely happens. But I had to sit down and take a blow because I was just like, oh, I got hit in the solar plexus with all that goodness at once.
I looked at that photo and I thought, God, it doesn't look like Jay Moore, but maybe he was like 19 or something. Kevin unearthed some photo from a movie I never heard of. It didn't look like him.
Did
it looked
you?
A lot like Scott Kahn.
Here's what I'll tell you.
Did
you
go on Google Images and type in Scott Kahn?
No, I typed in Jay Moore in quotation, so both words would be together. And the list of people that come up, there's NBA players, and it's very little actual Jay Moore, but I saw that one. I thought, oh, that looks like it. Maybe he was playing something on TV or something. It's a little embarrassing, so I'm going to pick that picture. Mm-hmm. So you're saying it wasn't Jay Moore?
No.
This is why you fail.
True.
Indeed.
So true, Mini Yoda. I just think, I don't know what to think.
He's the best.
Bus most of the time. I don't know what he's talking about. I could say the same about Kevin. Hey, are you a fan of Orange is the New Black?
So much.
It's a television program on the Netflix. Mm-hmm. Well, if you are, Netflix is putting together a very special invitation-only event in New York City called OrangeCon. So this is obviously for hardcore fans. But Netflix is the only... You can only go if they invite you, and you can't buy tickets.
Okay.
You get to meet the entire cast, attend panel discussions about the show, and see a special screening of the Season 3 premiere. But I know we do have a lot of listeners who are diehard fans of the show, so I wanted to give them the heads up. The only way you can get the invitation is to follow on Twitter at OITNB for Orange is the New Black. And then you get a chance to win free tickets that way, either on Twitter or Tumblr or Instagram. But you have to follow them at that address, and then you can win free tickets. And then if you post a picture of Scott Kahn underneath your tweet,
labeled as Jay Moore.
Labeled as Jay Moore, they might put you in a home. Ryan Seacrest lost his job hosting American Idol.
Oh, that's right. It got canceled.
Got canceled. What's he going to do now? Well, don't worry about Rai. He is fine.
Do we call him Rai?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
He's been tapped to host yet another reality show. This is even before Idol ends its run in 2016. This is going to have another show on Fox that he's been hosting. And this finally sounds something that is worthy of his talents. It's called Knock Knock.
Knock Knock.
I am not effing around. It's a show called Knock Knock, where people around the country will be surprised by a knock on their door.
What?
And then they will be invited to win cash prizes or meet their favorite celebrities or earn other major rewards.
It's a game show?
It's a game show where people knock on your door. That's the gimmick, is that someone knocks on your door. It's called Knock Knock Live.
They had a great show on Food Network. It was Knock Knock Dinners, and Gordon Elliott would show up and look through your pantry and cook you a meal. I saw that at Best Buy.
On TV at Best Buy.
Knock Knock.
Knock Knock is the name of that. You know what? Because he's been on Idol, he's been throwing out all these ideas that his company is behind. They're all terrible.
Remember the million hourglass? Whatever that show was called?
Questions in New York, or whatever the F that was?
You had to live inside an hourglass in Times Square and answer a question unless the bingo ball fell into the right hole, and then you got 4 points if the mole came out and you had to whack it.
I think that went away like 3/4 of the way through the first episode.
Right, because it was a 4-hour show.
So Knock Knock is what you're saying.
Knock Knock is the name of the show.
All right.
Do you think he ever gets embarrassed? Look, I can see you got to do what you got to do to make a buck. I get that.
He's making a lot of bucks.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But do you ever get up in the morning and look in the mirror and go, yes, I am hosting Knock Knock. This is where I wanted to be. This is the guy I wanted to be when I was a kid. The host of Knock Knock.
That sounds terrible.
I don't know. I mean, he may just measure success by...
By money?
By bank accounts.
By money, yeah.
I suppose there are people who do that. But if I hosted a show called Knock Knock, where people just knocked on other people's doors and gave them cash prizes and stuff, I would be a little chagrined about that. I'd be a little embarrassed.
You'd be looking for what's next so that you can move on?
Yeah, well, look, I got a house payment, and I got that, and I got to provide for my family. So
I'm not going to put this on my resume.
I'm not going to punish myself. But at the same time, this is not the person I wanted to be.
Yeah.
The host of Knock Knock.
Yeah.
Who's there? Loser. That's what I would say to myself in the mirror. Vincent D'Onofrio just keeps getting better at everything all the time. I loved him on Law & Order, Criminal Intent. We played Detective Gorin on that show. He was terrific. Now, of course, he is brilliant in Netflix's Daredevil series. He's going to be in the upcoming Magnificent Seven remake. He's in Jurassic World. His career's just blowing up. And now, finally, yes, they're getting around to remaking the show that has been begging for a remake all these years. Chips! Chips is coming back! Chips! Chips!
When's Knock Knock on?
You remember Eric Estrada?
I do, yeah.
Larry Wilcox? Uh-huh. Chips? Yeah. They were the California Highway Patrol.
They were, yeah.
They're making a feature film remake.
A feature film?
Of Chips. Starring Dax Shepard and Michael Pena as Ponch and John.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
And Vincent D'Onofrio apparently is going to play the ruthless ringleader of an auto theft gang.
I certainly hope they let him do the theme song. You guys remember?
Yeah. About the,
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus act. I'm a hamster. Am I in any way related to the wheel?
That would be awesome.
Bah, 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 bah. Chips.
You're making that whole story up.
That's
though,
all
right?
True. That's all real. Huh. Do we really need a Chips movie? I mean, all humor aside, we don't need Chips again, right? Chips was of its time, and that was fine for what it was. But let's look forward, not back.
I agree, but it's hard to knock anything when it comes right after Knock Knock.
That's true.
You know, it all comparison, looks good. That's not bad.
We will judge everything by the Knock Knock standard from now on.
But Ralph, you know, you went to the theater this weekend, and there was Poltergeist, and then yesterday you woke up and saw the Point Break trailer. Yeah. I mean, it is
just
that
Point Break trailer is the best
remake
thing
after
ever.
Another.
Do yourself a favor if you haven't seen it. Go online, go on YouTube, and look at the remake of Point Break. Look at that trailer. You will wet yourself. My favorite line by far is the FBI. The Keanu Reeves character standing up in front of his fellow FBI agents. He goes, I believe that, like me, the people perpetrating these robbers are extreme athletes. Well, how lucky that we here in the FBI have one of our own extreme athletes we can send undercover to do some base jumping and flying squirrel suit flying.
Yeah.
I am an FBI agent.
That's the real deal right there.
That's right, man.
Keanu.
This sounds like somebody said, hey, what's hot right now? Oh, action sports? 15 years late. We should do a movie about this, like in a heist or something.
Remember Triple X? We'll do that again, but we'll steal that title from that movie that those people like because it was really bad and everyone makes fun of it. Yeah, but wasn't that movie really bad? Shut up! It's Point Break!
But next to Knock Knock.
See?
Pretty good.
I can't wait for Knock Knock the movie when they remake the series into a feature film starring Dax Shepard. And Bill Cosby as two lovable, mismatched detectives who just canvass neighborhoods looking for information. Knock, knock!
That's the last thing you want to hear.
Is Bill Cosby knocking on your door?
Seriously.
I'm running late. Sorry. Today's celebrity birthdays, real quickly. Chris Colfer, Andre 3000, Jack McBrayer, Paul Bettany, Joseph Fiennes, Todd Bridges, Louis Gossett Jr. and Adam Carolla all celebrate birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Scott Kahn joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, according to Kevin's tweet.
Or maybe Jay Moore. We'll find out when he gets here, I guess.
For people looking for Kevin's tweet, by the way, you can go to at Ralph Garman. If you follow me, I just posted it. We had a screen cap of it.
So. Yeah,
good for you, Ralph.
I deleted it, and then Ralph put it right back up. Save it. Nothing ever disappears from the internet. Kevin, you know that.
Yeah. Hey, let's play a little Real King, Fake King, shall we? King, broadcasting legend, fellow inductee into the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame, by the way. He's got to be 80, right? And he's got to be losing it.
Oh, he's been losing it for a long time.
Yeah.
His suspenders are 80, by the way.
I got interested in him when he started losing it, which was about 10 years ago.
Right, when the dementia began, yeah. That's when Kevin said, I can relate to this guy.
Yeah. So every once in a while, we like to take a look at his Twitter feed, and we give you the opportunity to guess whether it's a real Larry King tweet. If it is, this is the sound you'll hear.
Will Glenda be there?
Or if it's one we just made up, it's a fake Larry King tweet, then you'll hear this sound.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Did Larry post a picture of Scott Kahn at any point today and say it was Jay Moore?
He didn't.
All right.
All right. First up, Kevin, I believe traditionally you get to go first. Here's the first tweet.
See, here's the problem yes. that we all face is that Bean makes up fake ones, and Bean and Larry are very similar.
They are.
It's almost impossible.
How dare you? Why do dogs love to play catch so much?
Fake.
That's a tweet for you, Kevin. Why do dogs love to play catch so much? You say fake, I hear.
Fake.
All right. Ralph Garman?
Dogs don't really play catch. They play fetch, right? So I think that's real because I think Larry is so screwed up he doesn't even know what the game is called.
All right.
I say fake because why would he? He's not asking that. He knows the answer.
Will Glenda be there?
That is a real, well done, Ralph Garman.
Around the board of the point, that is a real tweet. Because if Bean had written, Bean would know have every detail right, and it would have been fetch, not catch, because Bean is that detail-oriented.
That's true.
Woo!
All right, Ralph, you're up next. You guess first.
Here's the
tweet.
I am an FBI agent.
Ralph always wins. Ralph always wins any game.
No, I don't.
A fireplace improves a room.
Ooh.
A fireplace improves a room.
Ooh. Is it my turn? Yep. I go now?
Your turn.
Yep. Boy. He seems like he probably learned his school books by firelight when he was a lad.
Went to school before electricity.
Yes, and I feel it's very nostalgic for him. So I would say, yes, real tweet, real tweet.
Real tweet, all right. Allie McKay.
I say fake because I believe, as Larry does, that a rug ties the room together.
So you're putting
excellent
words
analysis
in his mouth.
I am.
Okay.
I'm
going to go with fake.
Will Glenda be there?
That one is also real.
Woo!
Ralph, you're on fire. Allie, you are the worst person who's ever played
ever,
this game, by the way. All right, let's give you a chance to go first.
Okay.
Real king, fake king. For the life of me, I will never understand cricket. For the life of me, I will never understand cricket.
Say real. Absolutely real. Because no one understands cricket.
But I'm going to go fake because Larry doesn't even know about cricket.
Oh, of course.
No knows way.
About cricket. Everybody fake. Knows about cricket.
Let's wait for the answer, Ralph. You'll see I'm right.
You may be right, but not for the reason you think.
You don't know, man.
I do know. Larry's a man of the world. He knows what cricket exists. I'm going to say fake tweet. Fake tweet.
Will Glenda be there?
Also a real tweet, a point for Miss Allie McKay.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, I thought part of this game was some of them were not going to be real.
He's setting you up, man. No, he gets real and then boom, he hits with a fake one.
You don't know, man. It could be they could be all fake. It could be all real.
Just play the game, Kevin.
Yeah, the decision is you just have to decide.
Don't you worry about how the game is constructed. Why don't you try to get an answer right once in a while?
I want to be right once in a while, so I want him to change it to make it easier.
All right. Does sauerkraut mean angry German? Does sauerkraut mean angry German?
Oh, wow.
Real Larry King, fake Larry King? I believe, Kevin, you're on the board.
I'm going to say real because I think it's so ridiculous that Bean would read it so that we would think it's fake, and I'm going real.
Oh, I can't get into your
weird
logic. Really.
Getting into the psychological
It's rock, paper, scissors.
It's
what you think that person is going to guess
how about
next.
Basing it on something other than how your brain works.
Who's the best at this?
Not you.
Oh, that's right.
No, I think if Larry was going to talk about sauerkraut, he'd be talking about Nathan's hot dogs or something or other. I don't think he'd go with the etymology of the word, so I would say a fake tweet.
I, too, believe it's fake.
Ladies and gentlemen,
be there?
For whatever reason, Kevin did see
Kevin.
Through
Thank
that one
you.
And got a point. All right, what is the score? Because we're almost out of time before
Does
Scott
comes. Doesn't matter, we're
Kevin
doing this
won.
For fun.
Kevin won, Ralph 2, me 1.
Wow.
Okay, so Ralph is in the lead.
Barely.
Next up. Sometimes even reading the word yawn can make you yawn. Sometimes even reading the word yawn can make you yawn. Ralph Garman.
I bet if anyone knows anything about yawning, it's Larry.
Or his audience.
I'm going to go real. I'm going to go real on that one. Real tweet. Real queen. Real queen. Real queen.
Huh?
Real king.
Which one?
Definitely. Definitely. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Not my underwear.
You're saying real.
Real.
You're putting your lead on the block here, you know.
I know.
You're,
look.
You're
I
ahead.
Know. Right. I get it. Look.
You want him to do delay? Filibuster?
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
This is an important point. That's all I'm saying. Allie, this could be the biggest decision you make all day. Next to where to park tonight when you sleep in your car.
Well, in a well-lit area. I'm going to go fake.
I'm going to go fake as well.
Wow. They're going for it.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
It's a three-way tie. Let's do this.
I have never been able to actually win this game.
Wow.
All right, so we've got – what you're saying is we have one more question and someone will win, basically?
Well, or we'll all tie.
Or someone will tie. Win or everyone will win.
All right, next up. You never – who goes first this time?
I think it's
Allie McKay. All right. You never hear anyone asking you to act chalant. You never hear anyone asking you to act
chalant. That is
chalant.
Such a bean.
Yep.
It is,
so
yeah.
All bean.
Fake. All day fake.
I'm going to go real.
Just because Kevin wants to win.
Because I want to win. And I think Ralph's going to go fake, so if it's real, I win.
Fake.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Kevin loses!
8 o'clock this morning, your latest chance to win tickets to join us tomorrow night at the Roxy to see the band U2, the smallest venue they've played in 40 years. You cannot buy these tickets. You can only win them from K-Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Bono from U2, back on the Kevin.
You know, just last year, 40 million Africans, they were pulled from jails for crimes. Right now.
You okay, Bono?
Johnny, take a walk with your sister, Rain. How you feel, all right?
A little echo there, too. That's fancy.
Wipe your tears away. Oh, all right. You know, the Bush administration systematically commits torture.
They've been out of office for 6 years, right?
In office because we get elected by you, the people for the people. This is Sunday, bloody Sunday. Let's go to the edge.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Jay Moore joins us.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Good to be up with Kevin and Bean this morning. And I agree with Kevin. I look almost identical to Scott Conn in that photo. You took it down like a puss.
I did. Easy mistake to make.
It looks like me when before I had my veneers, like picture perfect me back when I had heat, when I had a film career.
I saw the picture. I just thought maybe it was in some TV show or film that I'm not familiar with, but it looked funny. You're wearing a cowboy hat. I was very excited about that.
I wish I knew how to quit you. It was when me and Scott Conn were lovers up in the woods.
Do a Google image search for Jay Moore and look at the pictures that come up. The first one is you, and the rest of them are all not you. Mm. It's really strange.
Okay. I believe you. I take your word for it. June 5th, Morongo Casino. I got to hit that hard. Tickets are slow. June 5th.
June 5th.
I'm at Morongo Casino.
Morongo Casino.
Here's the deal. You know, a lot of my shows are meet and greets,
right,
Kevin. And Bean, my love, most of my shows are meet and greet. This is a meet and hang. You go to Morongo Casino June 5th. After the show, we're just taking over the entire casino. We're going to hop the fence, get in the lazy river pool.
Okay.
What, are they going to arrest all of us? I'm not joking. We're twerking. And by the way, my twerk tweet should have had way more than 40 retweets.
What was your twerking tweet?
God's gift to flat-chested women.
Oh, there you go.
That's not
bad. Flat, you get to shake your booty, and everyone's like, "Whoa, she's so fine." It's like, no, she's flat. Let me peek around the front. Milk, lemonade. Huh? What? Oh, okay. Did you know around the corner Fudge's made? They're talking about poop. I just found that out. What the hell's going on around here?
Figured that out. Like 10. Hey, listen, at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa, by the way. As you mentioned, it's coming up on Friday, June 5th, which is a week from this Friday, if I am doing the math correctly.
I take a helicopter there.
Do you really?
It's badass.
That's way better than having to drive, right?
I feel like Graham Nash going to Woodstock. I feel cool. Yeah. That's a reference.
For the show are just $25 to see the great Jay Moore, two for $40. You also get, as Jay mentioned, the meet and greet after the show and a free Jay Moore t-shirt. So it really is a deal.
Now, Jay, do you gamble when you go to a place like this? Are you gambling?
Yeah,
Vegas?
I like a blackjack a lot.
Blackjack?
I can't sit in a poker room with like the old Asian guys. They bet the whole house. They put it like a newborn baby down, like, no, more. More. They're like Pesci in Casino.
Give me another card, balloon head. Look at this guy. What do you mean bust? I bust? Give me a $10,000 marker.
They just put a live newborn baby down with a cloth diaper like, hey, more cards, please. Yes, Bean.
Blackjack.
Yes, Bean. It's Russell Brand. I like to play blackjack. Mostly because I like to say blackjack.
Sure.
It's a game where you lose all your worldly possessions, but we don't need them, do we, Kevin?
We
don't. Even if we look like Scott Conn without veneers.
With a cowboy hat.
And what are veneers? And what is a cowboy hat? Why would you want that much of your head protected from things and people not to see your ears at the back of your head and neck? I don't understand it. What I do understand is making a beautiful white ribbon of a fuvula and covering a woman's breast. That's their bosoms, right?
Yes, it is, Russell.
You don't have to dump any of that. It's all medicinal.
Oh, I know.
Okay, darling.
I know, but I'm having to process
real?
It.
Are you real?
Yes.
You look lovely. Okay. Beautiful.
Real is the question?
Yes, he looks beautiful.
Thank
ethereal
you, Russell.
Glow about him. I love
Thank
him.
Thank you, Russell. Thank
I love
you.
All of you, really.
Jay,
we're one atom from the big electron in the sky, aren't we?
Sure.
Who is
sure.
that man, the disenchanted voice coming through the box?
His name is Bean.
Is that Jonathan Ross?
No, another good reference.
British TV host. Yes.
All right, that's not me. Hey, Jay, when you're driving down the street just in your own head on your way to your sports radio job or whatever,
yeah.
do you entertain yourself
no.
with voices?
No, not at all.
Do you think like that? Like, does it? If you're driving down the road, do you think something in Tracy Morgan's voice, for instance?
No, if I'm with my son, like, I'm with my four-year-old, I go, yeah, who's got the sippy cup? But it's only because I'm trying to get him to do more impressions because it's good for the Instagram, Jay Moore Sports. I've been trying to get him to do Harvey Keitel. Who's going to be okay? Say the damn words.
You're trying to get your four-year-old to do an impression of Harvey Keitel.
And he does it flawlessly, but when I take out the phone, he chokes. And he knows because he's like, he knows intrinsically I've been setting him up like for the long run to film him and throw it up someplace.
Right.
He sees himself on the Instagram as Tracy Morgan, so he taps out.
So your goal is to get to a point where he's so talented that you can back away from doing any of the actual work and just send him out on the road and live off his earnings.
No, that's what Ralph does that for me. Ralph goes out lots of times
sure.
and does my show in its entirety. I mean, Ralph's one of the most talented impressionists. He just doesn't do it here.
Let me tell you about Ralph Garman, who yesterday went to his kid's school.
Why are you talking like a guidance counselor all of a sudden?
And it was parents. Bring your parents to school and show your kids what you do. And he did a whole puppet show with voices and stuff. And I was like, as a parent, I would be pissed. Like, come on.
I got to follow
He's
that.
He's a professional.
Yeah.
I have a fire suit. That's it. That's all I have.
Ralph's a good dude. Yes. What I do on parent day, my son's in preschool. And I just showed up and I went to Warner Costumes and I just went full astronaut gear. And I was like, hi. I never took off the helmet. I'm like, I'm Meredith's father. I just returned from the moon. And they all just stared at me. And I'm like, I have to go. I might explode. Meredith, I'll see you at home. You're the strongest boy in the world. Henry, stop hitting. And then I walk out.
You make quite an impression.
Yeah, and they're like, they still don't know what I look like.
Strong.
So keep the helmet on, man.
That's pretty good.
That's what's up.
That's
very
good. Strong.
That's what's up.
We got to take a quick break. Jay Moore is here. He'll be at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa 1 week from Friday. That's June the 5th. Go to the Morongo's box office. Where do we buy tickets online for this, though, Jay? That's not everybody's.
I'm going to put it on my web. Morongo, if you just Google search Morongo, I should have a better answer for you. But I'm excited about the meet and hang. I'm going to see if Morongo can keep 1,000 people out of the pool if we just decide to take it over.
I think they won't try. I think you'll be good.
They'll try.
It'll be a fun time. Oh, they will. Okay.
And they give away a car, you know, like you slot play. Like I say, you know, let's just steal the car. Let's get out of here.
Sure.
New Jaguar. Are they going to arrest all of us? I steal an empire. How many cops can there be?
I feel like all of these plans are good. They're solid.
Solid.
I'd like to see them all happen.
Solid, man.
Jay Moore is here. We'll be right back. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:37.
Hey, Jay Moore. 37 is my lucky number.
Yes, it is. Why is it 37? What's the
year my father was born, and my dad used to race cars, SCCA racing in the Northeast, spec racers, and he had 37 on his car. And then when I started playing baseball, nobody fights you for the 37. You get a bunch of kids in a box, like, pulling on each end of the eight. Right. And you're like, I'm 37. They're like, whatever. I guess we'll make one. Yeah, they got
to
make one for you. And, so I dug it. And I wrestled at 137 pounds my freshman year of college. I saw that show on the Learning Channel, The Man with the 135-pound Testicles.
Yeah.
I guess because the executives didn't want you looking through your program guide saying, I wonder what this show is about. And I realized that guy's nuts weigh exactly what my entire body weighed at 18 years old. I would step on a scale with very small testicles, apparently, and the scale said 137. But I drove.
These are his, you know, testes.
Right.
Yeah. He passed away, you know, Jay. We lost him.
Yeah, he died of apathy, I was told. My wife and I were watching Ray LaMontagne videos on YouTube. Like, you just get in that YouTube rabbit hole where you go, oh, wow, it's 4 a.m.
What happened?
Yeah. And she goes, can you imagine if me and Ray LaMontagne were a couple? She goes, on our death certificates, it would say apathy. We'd just sit there and not talk to each other for 50 years.
Is your wife funnier than you?
She's different. She's certainly way smarter than I am. Like, if you saw my Showtime special, Happy and a Lot, what people really latched onto was the stuff that she wrote in its entirety, like the whole run on irony. Like, that's something I tried on stage that she wrote word for word. She wrote the whole special. She has the credit. It says, written by Nikki Cox. But she wrote everything word for word. And the irony thing is such – it's kind of a higher concept because you're getting an entire audience on board about, I hate irony. I have no irony. Here's what I mean, et cetera, et cetera. And then she said to me, bull ass, it's awesome. You got to go out there and just do it. But you're tiptoeing through it. Do it like you know it's great and it's going to work. And I was at the Melrose Improv one night and I go, this is like a high concept. But you guys are super smart, so I know you'll get it. And me saying that out loud was really, I was saying it to myself.
Sure.
And then I just went through it, and it's like what everybody liked the most about my last Showtime special. Like, if you see me in a Hello Kitty t-shirt, it's because I love the hell out of Hello Kitty. I'm not wearing it ironically. Like, you see a guy in a Journey shirt, and you're like, wow, that's pretty badass. He goes, I know, right? And you're like, why are you laughing? Well, it's Journey. Yeah, you want to know how great Journey is, Tad? Journey's so great. There's a tiny Filipino man walking around making believe he's the lead singer of Journey, and none of us care.
Yeah.
3 out of 4, we'll take it.
He sounds just when like Steve.
That's the only English he knows. And we don't even care because Journey's so amazing. You see a guy in a Neil Diamond jacket, he goes, I thought it was funny. Yeah, funny. Neil Diamond? Sweet Caroline.
Ba, ba, ba.
Okay, so we're both idiots then?
Yes.
Yeah. Neil Diamond apparently is pretty great. I have no irony in my body. My wife wrote all of that. So she's funnier than me in a much smarter way.
That is interesting to me because you're a guy who's been a very successful professional comedian for a long time. And to see you kind of branching out like that, doing something that didn't come naturally to you, is interesting to me.
It was interesting for me because I had to act. I haven't acted in so long. And when I did my Showtime special, I had to act out the words that my wife wrote.
Have you ever had anyone else write something for you that you do verbatim?
No. Never.
Yeah, it just seems...
And she's written before for, you know, she was with a comic before me. I won't say, but she wrote a lot of his jokes.
He was way funnier.
He was way funnier,
right?
Boy, did he blow it. As E.E. Cummings once wrote, my darling, if I ever meet the man that broke your heart, I shall shake his hand.
Ooh, that's deep.
Yeah, that's why I got her pregnant.
Speaking of your family members,
yes,
Jay,
sir. Let's get to it.
To turn it on a dime, Jay came in today and shocked us with a real tragedy that happened in your family last month. That I apologize that I did not know anything about, and certainly didn't know your family was involved. What happened, Jay?
I just assumed everybody knew because I tweeted about it. It was on the news, and I tweeted a lot about it. I canceled all my stand-up dates. Woodland. If you Google search Woodland Hills condo fire, like if you're at work right now or on your phone, my Aunt Christy died in a condo fire. She had Down syndrome, and Kevin actually spoke to her on the phone when I was taking her to Fry. Hi, Kevin!
I did. I called Jay, and she was in the car.
Yeah, she used to go to Fridays. There was a condo fire, and Uncle Dan, who's been on my podcast many times, he is in intensive care at West Hills Hospital because he kept running back into the condo to try to save Christy and pull her out. So there's a GoFundMe page because their insurance payout was so embarrassingly low. And once again, the beautiful, most hardworking people, the middle class, the blue collar people.
They lost everything
in the
fire?
It's gone. It is just hollowed out and empty. It's nothing. And so now they have to get a new apartment, furniture, clothing, everything, you know, is just gone.
Something
every single
scratch,
thing.
Literally,
if you just drop somebody out of the space and from my astronaut suit from my kids' preschool and said, start a life, here's 20 grand. You'd be like, wait, what? There's three of us. So there's a GoFundMe page at my Twitter, at JMoore37. $10, $5. Give a dollar. Give whatever you want. And there's an address option when you do GoFundMe. And I write a letter on the GoFundMe page explaining what happened. There's a link to the fire. And if you fill out your address, I'd love to write you a letter and just tell you thank you and I love you so much. These are really beautiful people. And Christy, Special Olympian, multiple gold medal winner. Once we were at Ralph's
Not Garmin's. That would be weird. We were at the store, and the guy checking us out. Are we up against the clock?
No.
The guy, you let me know. The guy checking us out was bald.
Now we are.
And Aunt Christy looks at the bald guy doing our groceries, and then finally he looks up and she goes, "You don't like fangs?"
She's funnier than you, too.
She was, past tense, because now she's dead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean
Now she's
say
in
it
an
that way.
Urn, Kevin.
I didn't really
but you can go to the GoFundMe page, and it'll say right there, Kevin Ryder, $1,000. I'll be like, you know what? That makes up for the Scott Kahn picture.
That is pretty impressive.
That was all the money we had, Karen!
We have it up at the Kevin DeBede Facebook page and also the from the Kevin DeBede Twitter account.
You know hey, Jay, what? How much what? Do I get paid to do April Foolishness each time?
You get paid...
Not a penny.
Nothing.
Right, not
well,
a penny.
Now we give it back.
Yeah.
By the way, about... best lineup in the history of comedy.
It was a great show.
That was better than the Woodstock lineup. You know what's amazing? Everybody was better than they've ever been. I was on stage. I knew Eliza was after me. Mm-hmm. And as I was doing Bono and stuff, I'm thinking, oh, that poor girl. She's done.
Oh,
she's
really?
Dead.
You thought like...
And she goes out and hammers it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everybody could follow everybody.
Do you think that everybody steps up their game because they normally don't perform with other headliners?
They do step up their game, but there's a way... You got to do comedy for a long time, and you have to be an exceptional comic to step up your game without going faster and without shouting.
Right.
Usually, if you step up your game, you just say, F a whole lot more, how we doing? Going like, that's how you step up your game when you're kind of newish.
Right.
And there's a lot, like, Brad Williams, he's been doing comedy, 12 years? Like, mm-hmm. That's still, like, I didn't know what I was talking about till like, 18 years in. But there's comics that have been doing it, like, 5-6 years that even they step up their game. It's hard to step up your game without going louder, swearing more, or speaking more quickly.
Boy.
But those comics nailed it. They just
Ralphie
rose.
May was incredible.
Hey, player. He had more midget jokes than Brad.
He did.
Fluffy was incredible. Adam Ray was hilarious.
Yeah, go ahead.
Kevin?
I was going to say, Bean talked to Ralphie right after he came off stage, and he said, did you have that just standing by? Did you have a whole joke?
Ralphie,
he said, no, I just...
People don't understand. Like, when we do comedy drafts sometimes on my podcast, and I always take Ralphie in the first round, and other people are going out to, like, Stanhope, and I'm like, you know what? Stanhope can kiss my ass. He's a sweaty, drunken mess, and he'll never come close to Bill Hicks. Kiss my ass. Ralphie May destroys a crowd. Can you play the Apollo and then take a cab to a Klan rally and make both people laugh? Can you do it?
I don't know of anyone that can do that.
Ralphie can.
All right.
Gabriel can. Brad can. Everybody on that lineup does just if there's a mic you want to hit, give me a holler plus a pen and a pad. Like LL Cool J said, MC means move the crowd. I don't need my kind of audience like these clowns. I got a lot of positive reinforcement on my website because Eddie Ift was on my podcast last week, and I finally slashed out at other comics for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I put like three guys in my sights.
I like
it. Kiss my ass. These guys hate me. Al Madrigal doesn't like me. Really? I went to CBS and told Nina Tassler, look, you can't fire Al. You can't. It's not fair. Sorry you don't like me, Al. Let me know the next time you cross paths with somebody that drives to CBS Television City to wait like a damn audition to talk to the boss to save your job. Dick.
Jay has a very complicated life, Kevin.
It does. Not really. It's just
doesn't
for the
he?
First time ever, I've never said
That's
a negative
not like
thing.
Of, you. You're that isn't very like you positive. At all.
I've always been positive. And then with Eddie, I said, you know what? Just this one time. Doug Stanhope says I'm a C word because at the comedy store 15 years ago, I said, nice car. Really? You know what? You are one. You ain't Bill Hicks. You're a sweaty mess. You got too many words in your mouth. Take Jay and Moore out, and that'll help you look less sweaty and bloated on stage, jerk. Maybe you shouldn't be playing bars in the middle of nowhere.
Speaking of the middle of nowhere, don't miss Jay Moore at the Morongo Casino.
Morongo!
Friday, June 5th.
And tweet all you want. Jay's talking about you.
By the way, great deal. Tickets for the show are 2 for $40, including the free Jay Moore t-shirt and the meet and greet after the show. And please go to GoFundMe or look at the Kevin Bean Facebook page or Twitter for the GoFundMe page for Uncle Dan. And I'm sure Uncle Dan's millionaire nephew is chipping in a little bit for that fund as well.
I work in AM radio, Bean. I got divorced. I wrote a check that said, dear person I loathe, here's everything I own because you earned it. Private pile. Take all of his money. You earned it. And then Jay. I went to AM radio. I have to do another segment because I can't end on yelling at other comics.
We're actually out of time, Jay. But
see
thank you so much for stopping by. Love you, man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
You two at the Roxy tomorrow night. Giving away tickets right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you want to call us at 1-800-520-1067. We'll put you on hold for a couple minutes. Give you a chance to earn your way in. We've got a game for you coming up after the top of the hour. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning.
What's it like playing a club as small as the Roxy, Bono? Is it something you're comfortable with?
I'm coming. That was a joke because that was a song on the Unforgettable Fur. Yeah,
well, you're known for your humor.
Oh, you know, there's only two kinds of people that wear sunglasses indoors.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, blind people
right. And
a-holes.
Yeah.
And I don't have a shepherd, mister.
Bono, ladies and gentlemen, Bono.
Thanks for stopping by, Bono.
I appreciate your time.
Are you leaving already?
Hey! Right.
See ya, Bono.
We're still friends, though, right?
We're still good, right? You still love us, though, right?
Cross Jay Moore and get on his enemies list, we've just discovered, by the way.
He's been good his whole life about holding his tongue regarding other
he really has.
Comedians. Mm-hmm. But now that the dam is broken, I fear for people.
Yeah, I fear for us.
No, he likes you, inexplicably. Hey, congratulations to our good friend Tyler Labine. Hulu has just ordered a third season of Deadbeat. I don't know if you guys are watching Deadbeat over there. But I really enjoy that show. Very funny, and he's always terrific, and it's a really enjoyable show. And they get some great guest stars on that show, either playing ghosts or people that he's helping out. James Franco, Danny DeVito, Fran Armisen, Michael Ian Black, Gilbert Gottfried have all been on the show. So,
how adorable is Kat Dealey, by the way?
She is pretty terrific.
Yeah.
Netflix apparently has all the money. That's the only way I can explain at the rate at which they are buying and producing television product.
Wait, I feel like how every are they 3 days, so rich? Every 3 days there's another project being announced.
They just signed Bill Murray for that Christmas special. They have announced a new series with Jimmy Smits called The Get Down, which takes place in the 70s, which shows the birth of hip-hop, punk, and disco in New York City during the 70s. Baz Luhrmann will be producing.
I'm into that.
Yeah, it should be a pretty interesting series. Jimmy Smits will star. And they just picked up another season of Grace and Frankie, starring Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, which I'm not sure has even aired yet.
It has, and it's delightful.
Is it?
It is great.
Well, there you go. There's a season two coming. So all those things are happening at Netflix. It's good.
Seems like they win.
It's good to be Netflix. Hulk Hogan has announced he is in talks to play a villain in Expendables 4.
Yeah, I am, brother.
Of course, technically speaking, anyone involved in making another Expendables movie is a villain. But the Hulkster apparently will be joining the cast of legendary action stars. Are you looking forward to working with Stallone again, Hulkster?
I sure am, brother.
That's why you go to Bean for the improv.
I don't
comedy.
Feel like right. Giving it your all there, Bean.
See, you go to Jay Moore, you say, how's that feeling, Bono? You get 2 minutes of gold.
Yeah. Comedy, right, exactly.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan, how he's doing. Yeah. Brother, you get that. That's what you get.
It's the fewest Kevin, amount of words he can say to get to brother. Because that's the impression.
You've seen all of the Expendables movies.
Yes.
Are they worth it? Or are we at the point of diminishing returns yet with this franchise?
I like it. I wouldn't stand by it as saying these are great action movies,
no,
I like them.
They're just they're enjoyable. Fun. They're just good fun.
Yeah, I like
all
it.
They are.
They're not great. They're really fun.
Yeah, they're not particularly well written or anything. But it's just eye candy. You're just going to watch familiar faces shoot people. There's a room for that in entertainment. Right?
I like it.
How do you feel about that, Hulkster? You feel the same way,
brother?
It sounds racist.
Today's celebrity birthday is Louis Gossett Jr., which I didn't even know Mr. Gossett Jr. was still around. Quite frankly, I have not seen him perform in a long time.
From?
Oh, Roots, maybe. He was famous for that. Officer and a Gentleman. He played Richard Gere.
The drill sergeant guy?
Yeah, his...
I believe he won an Academy Award for that role, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He played his drill sergeant in that film. Mayonnaise! I only know two things that come from Oklahoma, queers and steers, and I don't see no horns on you, boy! I got no place else to go! Don't you do that, sir! I got no place else to go!
Ralph's one-man show.
Officer and a Gentleman. Adam Carolla is 51 years old today. Todd Bridges turns 50. Joseph Fiennes, 45 years old. Very talented actor. Brother, of course, of Rafe Fiennes. So I wonder if he calls himself Yosef Fiennes then? Would you just learn how to say your names? I know I'm so angry at the Fiennes brothers, but boy, they steam my clams. Paul Bettany. How good's Paul Bettany in everything that he does always?
He's outstanding.
44 years old today. You know he's married to, by the way, Kev. You know he's married
to? Oh, yeah.
To? You know he's married
I don't to? Think I do.
You don't know?
No.
Go ahead, Bean. Drop it on him. Drop some knowledge
Jennifer
on him.
Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly is his wife. The man wins.
Yeah, he does.
The life sweepstakes.
All right.
Tell him what he's won, Bob.
Life, he's won Jennifer Connelly is what he's won.
Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock, of course. 42 years old today. Andre 3000 of Outkast turns 40. And actor Chris Colfer, also author Chris Colfer from Glee, 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Why don't we have this conversation before
it is 30
seconds before the game every goddamn time we
Look,
do it?
The truth of the matter is we rarely need a tiebreaker. Usually it doesn't come into play.
Right.
Okay, so let's just hope that that's the case again today. So here's what we got going on, ladies and gentlemen. It's Kevin and Bean's title fight. Hit it, Steve.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
And this time around, of course, the concert is tomorrow night at the Roxy. We're talking about the band U2, perhaps the biggest band in the world, playing the smallest venue they've played in 40 years. You can only win your tickets from KROQ. You cannot buy these tickets. Ralph, how are we playing Title Fight today?
Title Fight is going to be played the way it's played every time, Bean. We will get a list of titles.
All U2 songs.
All U2 songs. David Sanchez, the King of Mexico, and myself each have a list of titles. We have not seen them yet. But what we will do is try to the best of our abilities to describe these titles to our fellow player and get them to guess that title without using any of the words actually in the title.
Okay. So you're looking for five titles. How many seconds on the clock here, Kevin?
45 seconds.
All right, and if you're just stumped, if it's just not connecting, you have no idea what your partner is trying to get you to say, you can go ahead and pass and circle back around if you have time at the end. Let's go to our first contestant. This is going to be Ben. He is on line two. He's in Chino Hills. He is up first. Hey, Ben, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Doing great. You're going to be playing for U2 tickets. Since we're making you go first, which puts you a little bit of a disadvantage, we're going to give you your choice of partners. Who do you want, Ralph Garman or
Ralph.
Dave Sanchez?
Get it out.
All right, Ben.
Yeah. There's no
die,
reason
Ben.
To ever
die.
Pick Dave. I think we've all learned that.
It's a tough game.
I wish you could all hear Dave talking about how he does in this game 24-7.
Apparently, he's won every time
every
he's
single
ever played,
time.
Which
yeah.
is crazy. Because yeah. I don't remember it that way.
It's never happened.
He really is. He's like if you were on the Cleveland Browns and you can't stop talking about how many times you've won the Super Bowl. That's what Dave is.
Yeah, just,
that's why I'm going with Ralph.
That's a good decision.
Good choice.
All right, Ben, I will do my best work, sir. We shall see what we get here, okay?
All right.
Ready? Here we go.
Okay, not Saturday, but next day?
Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Okay. If you are peering around using your eyes, what's that called?
Where the streets have no name.
No. What do you use your eyes for? Not seeing, but...
Viewing.
Right.
Viewing.
Let's skip it. Oh, I'm so dizzy. I can't see straight. This is really affecting my balance. The syndrome really is making me dizzy. Okay, let's pass. Not sour, but...
Sweet.
Right.
The sweetest thing.
Right. I have lust for you. If I have lust for you, that means I have...
Desire.
Right.
Desire.
Okay, going back...
Oh, all right, got three.
Poop.
By the way, Ralph said day.
I said what?
You said the next day.
What?
It's
I'm just
Sunday.
Saying. I'm just saying.
Day.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's not a word that's
it's
in the title.
Day. It's not the
part
word.
Of the
nope.
Part of the title.
Nope.
Ralph
was trying to get you to say, I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
That's a tough, that's a long title.
Viewing yeah. or looking. Peering or whatever. And the other one, it sounds like you don't know the word vertigo, it sounds like. Which is when you get all dizzy and everything.
Yes.
Bean knows that word.
All right.
I thought that was a great clue, but a tough category. So three points on the board for
three
our
out
man,
of five.
Ben.
Sorry, Ben.
Let's see how Michael does. He's up next. He's unfortunately been paired with Dave. Hey, Michael.
Yeah, this is tough.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We apologize in advance for what is about to happen to you.
That's all right. Let's do this, Dave.
All right. Let's do this, Michael.
Here we go.
All right. The opposite of ugly.
Ugly,
come on, what's...
Pass.
Really?
Yeah, let's go.
What if you're pretty? What?
Beautiful day.
All right, cool. All right, I'm going to pass that one. If you're full of confidence, what do you have?
Yeah, Pride.
All right.
Boom.
All right, cool. If it's all right, pass. Two. It comes before two.
One.
All right.
Dude, New Year's Day. Still haven't found what I'm looking for, where the streets have no name.
Wait, hold on.
Come on, Dave.
All right, come on, man. If you,
Do we have a tie?
So, yes, we do.
Yeah. It's 3-3.
Yep, we have a tie.
Damn it. Yeah. Sorry. The one I was looking, I couldn't think of was with or without you. Our mysterious ways.
I just want to say there's a crazy amount of passing in that particular round.
Yeah, Dave's passing was something we haven't talked about, but are you Michael's allowed passing? To pass just to get to an easier one further down the list? I say no if you're the person giving the clues.
I
say the contestant passes.
No, we've never talked about that, but I think it's fine
because
for either.
Dave's the first one to ever try to cheat like
that. What are you
talking
about? Ralph passed on his own. Ralph passed the second one.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I'm saying
here's the problem. Why does Bean hate me in this game?
Yeah, like, because you're
he's
terrible.
Going everything
here's
against
the problem.
Me.
We don't have a winner.
You got to get to it eventually, Beans. I don't think it really matters in what order you do.
All right, Kevin. So we're going to see who gets this the quickest, right? The tiebreaker.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. Let's do this.
All right.
So we're going back to Ben. I'm going to describe a title for you, and we're going to try to get it as quickly as possible. Whoever gets their answer quickest will be the winner. That's how we're going to play this, okay?
You there, Ben? All right, there's only one.
Yep, I'm here.
Just one title, Ben, okay?
Keep an eye on the clock there, Kevin.
Another word for avenues?
Streets have no name.
3.9 seconds.
Oh.
All right, Ben, nice work. We'll see if it's enough.
All right. All right, Michael, we could do this.
Dave's going to pass. All right, you ready, Michael?
Let's do it.
All right, he was in the Ramones.
No!
Can't say the name.
Well, come on!
I can't say Ramon.
How so? If you could say Day, you could say Ramon. I didn't say it was Joey Ramon.
You can't use any of the words.
Michael.
Get out.
Foul.
Time out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben has been tickets to you two at the Roxy.
Sorry, Michael.
Congratulations.
Being that
Dave is not allowed to play this game anymore.
Nice work, man.
I love you, Ralph.
Love you too, buddy.
I'm going to punch you, Ben, in the stomach.
What's it, Ben?
I don't understand that either.
I don't either.
Plus, I don't know why this music is taking so long.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah!
He was made famous around the world as Dancing Man, a British guy from Liverpool who was made fun of online for dancing. He's a big boy, and a lot of people thought, man, this is the worst cyberbullying. We got to throw this guy a party. And the party was in Los Angeles this past weekend, and wait till you hear how it went. Wait till you hear the weekend that Dancing Man Sean O'Brien had, Kevin. He's going to tell us all about it when he joins us just after 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
There was a 16th birthday party, and poo fell out of the sky. Now... I just told you the whole story, and it took 4 seconds.
All right.
These guys...
poo fell out of the sky. I'm just assuming this is an airplane that just, like, opened up in the sky? Okay.
Yep. Dropped poop on them. Listen to how hard the news is trying to avoid poop, yet reference it as they tell you the story.
Picture a perfect sweet 16 birthday party yesterday for one local girl until the sky started falling, bringing it all to a sudden rather horrible end.
What dropped from the sky has partygoers disgusted. Fox 29's Brad Satin is at Philadelphia International Airport tonight. So, Brad, what dropped down? Not a welcome surprise.
No, kind of gross here for sure. This was a sweet 16 party.
So it was ugly, and it rained, and you don't want it, and it was smelly. But no one's going to say it.
Family deciding to have a bit of a drop-in, but it's what dropped in around 7:40 last night that really turned this party into quite the stinker.
Now, am I just unfamiliar with the term they wanted to have a drop-in? Is that a party, or did he make up that word drop-in so that he could use drop-in from the sky as well? In reference to that,
I don't know what the details were of this party, but I have heard that.
Okay, you
heard
party
where it's people are casually invited to drop in if they want.
I got
a fixed guest list, maybe.
But how happy was he with that?
Oh yeah.
Well, but what dropped in is not what they expected.
Happy birthday to you.
A couple observations of sweet 16 parties. Number one, you only get one in your lifetime, and number two, shouldn't be there.
Oh. Right, he's edging dangerously close to telling us what the hell he's talking about.
He said number two shouldn't be there.
Why won't they just say poo?
I don't know.
But it was. Number two, that is.
Allie loves this story. That's because she used to work in news.
At Jacinda's Sweet 16 party in Levittown Sunday evening, and it came from the sky. We are standing at ground zero?
Yeah, absolutely. Right here.
I'm not positive that's the best use of ground zero.
This was the spot, right?
Joe Cambray, Jacinta's stepfather, was playing horseshoes in the backyard. Others were swimming. About 40 people were there when it started raining. Only it wasn't raining.
And out of nowhere from the sky comes a bunch of feces.
He did it! He said
okay,
it!
Finally!
He said it!
No one who works for the television station will say it, but the guy they interviewed was willing to be brave enough to go on the record with poop.
Lands on here very hard.
It slammed into the middle of his canopy, the canopy he just bought hours earlier to give his guests a little protection from the elements, not realizing, of course, which element he'd be protecting them from.
Hey, not that element. Who thought about the element of poop?
I don't believe that poop is an element, by the way.
It is in this story.
Land on the baby seat that was here.
We'll spare you the close-up. Trust us, it's there.
We just got done with cake, thank God. We took the cake back in because within 2 minutes, something fell from the sky. It was brown. It was everywhere. It got on everything.
I grabbed the hose, immediately start lining things up, and I took the canopy, put it in the lawn to start washing off.
Planes above me.
Joe's tech-savvy sister grabbed her smartphone and used an app to figure out 5 planes were flying above them at that moment.
Who would have thought of that? I wouldn't have.
No.
An app to find out what airlines are above you?
Do that because they're trying to track down the plane so that they can sue her or lodge a complaint or something?
Not that the information offered much comfort right then. Your face says it all.
Yeah, that is gross.
I was eating cake, heard a big splat.
Splat is a pretty good description.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it was a splat. That's a pretty good prescription. Description, I mean.
Here's another.
It looked like if 100 birds flew over and went to the bathroom all simultaneously, that's what it looked like.
Definitely not legal.
Oh, now you're an attorney.
I don't know about the legality of things. I do know that we don't really need an in-depth explanation of what it would have been like, as we can all guess. Poop falls
from
the sky.
I like the lady, the interview who described to us that it was brown, too.
Yeah,
I appreciated that detail. Look, how long is this piece and how many people they talked to about this?
But that's the thing is, after watching it, I realized there's not much of a story here.
No.
There was a little bit of poop that fell on a Sweet 16 party. The TV station is thrilled. Let's cover this.
You told it in 4 seconds. Yes. You told us every single detail we needed in that 4 seconds.
She's right. The FAA tells us all airplanes are required to dispose of the waste at an airport, which means in airport lingo, Jacinda's Sweet 16 party certainly should have qualified as a duty-free zone.
And everybody was not very really happy.
See?
Come on. How many poo jokes did this reporter put into this piece?
I don't know, but I love him. Who's with me?
Don't forget, more chances for you to win your way into U2 at the Roxy starting at 9 o'clock and 12 full hours on K-Rock of you dialing us every 30 minutes to win those tickets. 9 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30, then throughout the day. Get all the details at krock.com, and good luck tomorrow morning on the show. We'll have the very last pair of tickets.
A lot of different religions try to keep you from masturbating.
I'm not
positive why. But they all try to come up with something. I always heard that you would grow hair on your hands. I don't know who came up with that or why.
I think your mom comes up with that more than religion does.
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. But there is a Turkish preacher whose name is Mukahid Sihad Han, I think.
I bet that's close.
And he says that he would prefer that you get married, because if you masturbate in the afterlife, your hand will become pregnant.
Now, we brought you this story yesterday, and we said we had many questions about it. Mr. Han did this, came up with this on his televangelism program on a television station called 2000 TV. And apparently he was responding to a viewer comment who wrote in and said, I keep masturbating, although I am married. What should I do? And he says, look, if you were single, I'd tell you to get married. But since you're already married and you're still masturbating, here's what I'm going to tell you. According to the Quran, your hand will become pregnant in the afterlife. Your hand will complain to God over what you are doing to it, and it will become pregnant. And when we brought this up yesterday, we thought, does this mean you have lots of little hands? Does your hand eventually ever give birth? It can't be to a baby. Like, how does this even work? So we asked Dave to track him down and believe, and I almost don't believe it, Turkish preacher, what's his name again, Kevin?
Mukahid
Sihad Han joins us on the phone in the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Han.
Assalamu alaikum, my friends.
And to you as well, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. We know that you have been very busy. Your comments have been made a firestorm around the world. I'm sure there are a lot of people trying to get you on.
Well, in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Okay. Right, and that is relevant to this conversation, how, sir?
Because I know all the secrets of the Quran and how to live a just and holy life, and other people may mock me, but they do not understand the ways of Allah.
I've never heard anyone else in the Muslim faith come up with this particular thing, though.
That if they hate me because they ain't me.
It's a good motto.
Now, some have said that, and even some Quran scholars have said that there is no reference to masturbation whatsoever in the book. So can you tell us where you're getting it, sir?
I have read the Quran very faithfully for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to interpret the sayings of the Quran in different ways in order to truly understand.
Okay. Okay. Well, you're a scholar. You certainly are more knowledgeable on this topic than we are. So how do you see it working? This is once you've died and go to heaven, that's when your hand becomes pregnant.
Yes. The Hadith states that if you have sex with your hand, in the afterlife, it will become pregnant with a child.
With a child?
Yes.
Okay. And then is it the normal 9 months and then you give birth?
Yes. It's very painful.
Okay.
And it will be very painful for you to have a baby out of your hand.
Right.
I would imagine,
and
yes.
So I say don't have sex with your hand.
Right.
Okay.
Or if you must, you must protect it. No glove, no love, I would say.
So if you wear a glove, then you can actually go to heaven and your hand won't be pregnant.
Well, no, it's still a sin. But it's better than to go without a glove.
But I think this is an important point. Is your hand pregnant or not?
No, but the point is to get married like a good Muslim.
Right, but
not to do that evil thing with your hands.
Right, but we're just trying to clarify how this works exactly.
I'm just saying, don't talk to the hand because the faint ain't listening. I say you have to knuckle down and get married already. Don't give the finger to Allah.
Right.
I am face-palming myself over this whole situation. I give thumbs up to marriage, thumbs down to masturbation.
Right.
Uh-huh. Fist and foremost, you must try to get married.
What about to the people? What do you say, sir, to the people who are married and are still masturbating?
I say, I am out of puns.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52. Wednesday morning, Ralph Garman joins us. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Oh, well, you're not a star until someone enshrines you in Legos. And that happened this week. Congratulations to Tadoff Switler.
She was made.
Yay! They made a life-size mosaic of her likeness out of Legos in the UK this week. So
what even? God!
It's amazing, right? Congratulations, Taylor Swift made of Legos.
Why did that happen?
I don't know. I don't understand any of this. I don't understand Taylor Swift, period. See the interview this week where she said, oh, being a music superstar is not so hard.
No.
I want to punch her right in the head.
But now, wait, Ralph. Wouldn't you want to punch her right in the head if she said it was hard being a pop superstar?
No, because it is. Making music is hard. Don't
honestly,
you think?
Honestly, I think Ralph and I would want to punch her either way. But
sure, that's a given. But that being said, who's with me? I guess no one. Yeah. Hey, speaking of music, Vampire Weekend bassist Chris Baio, what have you, releases his debut solo project on September the 18th, just been announced. It is a electronic dance album called The Names, and it's under his DJ handle, Baio. So you can get that if you're a Vampire Weekend fan. You want to check out the solo work? They're telling me I need to give my tickets away here, so I want to do that now.
Because then we got the thing.
Before Mug bursts an aneurysm.
Right.
If you'd like to go to the premiere of Entourage, I have got your tickets. They're all back. You got Ari. You got Johnny Drama. You've got E. You've got Vinny Chase. They're all back. Entourage the movie. It's going to be happening, and you get to go to the premiere, which is happening at the Regency Village Theater on June the 1st. Plus, you get a copy of the soundtrack, and you get to see all the stars, I'm sure, on the red carpet of the premiere of Entourage happening at the Regency Village Theater. I believe that's in Westwood. Give me a call now if you'd like to go. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through will get a pair of passes to see the premiere of Entourage. And if you don't win, don't worry, the movie's in theaters everywhere on June the 3rd, so you can check that out then.
By the way, our friend Bob Saget was in yesterday, Ralph.
The Sags!
And I think we asked him off the air if he was in the Entourage movie, because he was a semi-regular on the TV series.
Yes.
And he said not only is he in it, but he is eating sushi off a naked woman in a party scene in the film.
Now that's what I'm talking about, Bob Saget.
He said that was a weird day at work.
You won't get that at Fuller House.
Nope.
Son of a bitch. I don't even know why I'm so angry. But hey, who's the most famous Ducks fan of all, do you think?
Kevin.
Well, sure. Kevin is maybe the biggest Anaheim Ducks fan that we know.
Incorrect, sir.
Fan long time him,
long,
I think.
Long time fan
is that,
him.
So he doesn't... Right. Are you common. A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Right. That's just me screwing up the English language. That is not me being a Ducks fan.
Do we have Kevin talking about Alec Baldwin yet? Do we have that at the moment? Because that was pretty spectacular this morning, too. You expect me to say Alec Baldwin, but I didn't say Alec Baldwin.
How dare you?
His battery just died right in the middle of that.
I'm trying to think, Ralph, if the Ducks have any celebrities that are well-known, a la Jack Nicholson for the Lakers or Billy Crystal for the Clippers, somebody that you see in all the crowds, but I don't... I'm not thinking of it.
The perfect ultimate celebrity Ducks fan.
Oh, Emilio.
Thank you, Allie McKay.
You're welcome, Ralph.
This is from the woman who gave us...
Roz.
Roz from Frasier, yeah. By the way, redeems herself with Emilio Estevez.
Because...
He was the coach of the Mighty Ducks!
In a fictional movie that came out in 1992.
But that fictional movie hockey team, Kevin, begat the real NHL hockey team.
Which is part of my problem with it.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
You must have moved on from that from 20 years
really? Ago. Really? They're not a legitimate team because they were named after a movie team?
I'm sorry, how excited was everybody that Emilio Estevez was tweeting about the game?
Very.
Okay.
Very.
He was tweeting about the Anaheim Ducks-Chicago Blackhawks series, and fans went crazy. Gordon Bombay's tweeting about the Ducks. It was movie magic come to life. Kevin! You have no heart. If you can't get excited about Gordon Bombay tweeting about the Ducks, you just don't know, man.
That's just...
Hey, where's Pacey, by the way? What's Pacey have to say
right,
about
what's
it?
He up to? Flying V.
That's right, man.
You don't know. I love the Ducks. Painted orange.
We all love the Ducks. We're all painting it orange.
We are all Ducks all the time here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't want to badmouth them, but you guys force me to.
Ducks.
How dare you.
Ducks. There they are.
Hate you all.
And Johnny...
Quack.
All right.
Quack.
All right.
Quack.
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 Go Ducks.
Johnny Depp's going to prison in Australia, so that'll be interesting.
What?
Apparently they're going to throw him into prison. You know, it originally was a penal colony, so I guess they do that to everybody. I think if you go to Australia, you go right to jail, I'm
is this for
sure.
Bringing his dog still?
Yes, it's still the dog crime.
First they threaten the dog's life.
There have been murderers in Australia who haven't been treated this poorly, by the way. Johnny Depp's dog crime continues to plague him. Apparently he has ticked off Australian officials so much by bringing his two Yorkshire Terriers into the country illegally. They are threatening him with 10 years in prison and a $340,000 fine.
Well, that seems reasonable.
I think so, too.
10 years in prison.
Throw the book at him for bringing two little tiny Yorkshire Terriers into the country. He didn't declare boo and pistol when he brought them in or quarantine them for the 10 days as the law requires.
Man, they hate Johnny Depp.
They really do.
Really,
I don't know what he
him.
Ever did to them, but...
It's weird.
Look, I wasn't a big fan of the Willy Wonka remake either, but come on, Australia! His pilot, by the way, the pilot who flew the dogs into, he could also get 2 years. They take this seriously down there.
Anybody that's ever seen a Johnny Depp movie will also go to
that's
jail.
That's right. You have to do 6 months in community service in
what
Australia.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know, but it's maddening. And could Amy Schumer be the next Bachelorette? Ha ha ha! Would be that way if ABC had its way. She was a recent guest star on The Bachelorette.
What did she do? What was her role?
They did
it?
The thing where they had to teach the bachelors how to do stand-up comedy. Remember?
Oh, right.
So she was brought in as a guest expert help bring them along and help them craft their stage material. And so she was very funny and apparently a big fan of the show. And ABC was so impressed with her appearance that they made an official offer to her via Twitter yesterday that if she'd like to, they'd be happy to have her as the Bachelorette. That would be a funny series.
That would be.
She would ruin them.
That would be a completely different series.
I'd be all over it.
That would be very fun to watch Amy just taking apart these boneheads one by one as the series went on. So, come on, Ames.
And by the way, there'd be plenty of guys who would be willing to compete to win Amy's hand.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People love her.
Because she's a goer. That's why.
She's definitely a goer.
Don't you get the sense that she's just like a couple shots and like, let's just forget about dinner and go right back to the room? Don't you? She's that girl. Don't you get the sense?
I hope.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah!
Beer mug.
That's
knows.
Hot. That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Louis Gossett Jr. is 79 years old today. Mayonnaise. 79 years old today. We forgot about the powers of Matthew Starr.
I don't even know what that is.
Another Louis Gossett tour de force. He was a star of that TV series.
Okay.
Peter Barton. Come on. Nobody remembers
sure.
that?
Absolutely.
Great.
Remember.
He was like
great.
A superhero.
He was like a superhero.
Matthew Starr came from another planet.
Came from another planet.
And Louis Gossett Jr.
Louis Gossett Jr.
was a sort of earthbound,
sort of earthbound
mentor who helped him.
Who helped him kind of discover his powers and learn how to live with friends.
What a nerd alert.
That's right. Helped him learn how to live with friends. Because friends are so hard to get along with when you have friends.
No one's ever heard of that, Ralph.
Come on. Powers of Matthew Starr.
Zero people have heard
well,
of that.
Well, damn it. Look it up.
Nope.
Educate yourselves.
Don't have to.
You do. You need to have a little Matthew Starr in your life.
I feel like I don't have to.
I'm going
to
do nothing but talk about Matthew Starr on the next showbiz. I'm going to do a complete recap and bring in clips from the pilot.
I can't wait.
Adam Carolla is 51. Todd Bridges is 50. Joseph Fiennes turns 45 years old today. Paul Bettany, one of my favorite performers, is 44. What was that movie he was in where he was like a preacher, but he was also kicking people's ass, and he had like the last copy of the Bible he had to get someplace, and vampires were coming after him or something?
Is that the one where he had wings?
Was it Priest?
Priest!
Priest!
Yeah! Nice work, Chip. Good film. Jack McBrayer, 42 years old. Today, Andre 3000 of Outkast turns 40, and Chris Colfer of Glee fame is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I'm also Matthew Starr. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, we've been looking forward to this day for a long time. Dancing Man in studio with us. He is Sean O'Brien, a British man, it says, who attracted global support after he was fat-shamed on the internet. And he has come to Southern California for the ultimate redemption because he is now living the rock star life. As Dancing Man says on his Twitter page, big-hearted people far outweigh the small-minded every day of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sean O'Brien here on K-Rock. Sean?
Hi, morning, everyone.
Welcome, sir. What has the last few days been like for you? Has it sunk in yet?
No, not at all. And I'll get home. I'm flying home today, and I'll get home, and all of a sudden, all the emotions will fly out of me. People of LA have been fantastic. They could not have been more welcoming.
Well, people were very excited to meet you, that's for sure. Let's refresh our listeners' memory, if you wouldn't mind, sir. When did the original story break about you with the photos that we saw of you dancing at the club?
Yeah, it was March the 6th. It was a Friday morning in the UK when I first found out about it. And I mean, the good side about it was I found out about it because of the girls tweeting, because of their positivity and their reaction to it.
Okay, let's go back to what happened first.
Yeah, I was just on a normal night out with a few friends, just dancing, having a good time, minding our own business, and somebody took a photograph of me dancing and tried to pull it online to shame and humiliate me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realise at the time they were taking photographs, I'll be honest with you, but I was there because it's happened in the past and it'll happen again. You feel when somebody's picking on you or they're trying to make you feel low.
Now, there were two pictures, I think. One was you dancing, then the other was you looking sad.
Yeah. The first one was me just being me,
right?
Just, having a good
shaking
time,
shaking that ass like you do,
yeah. And the size of it needs shaking. But, yeah, and then the second one was when I realised that they were taking a bit of fun and trying to belittle me. And sometimes you can shrug it off, and sometimes it doesn't affect you. But there are times when it does. It hits home, and it had to hit home that night. So,
Well, I mean, it certainly hit home with millions of people on the internet around the world the next day when they saw, here's a guy who's a bigger guy, but he's out there just enjoying himself, not hurting anybody, just having a good time. Who on earth would want to make fun of that poor man? And I think that's why people kind of really rallied for your cause and said, wow, we got to do something for this guy. He doesn't deserve to be treated like this. Now, when you reference the girls, who reached out to you and kind of put the wheels in motion for this weekend to happen, Sean?
Well, the first tweet I saw was Cassandra Fairbanks, who's based out of Washington now, but she was an LA girl, and hopefully they partnered up and became really close friends as well. And hopefully with the open invite, just to show that it was a genuine invite and it wasn't just somebody else trying to...
And the invite was what?
It was just a long tweet. It was just a real personal vote. And I couldn't quote it now, I'll be honest, because it's just all a bit, still a bit of a blur. But
sure.
It was a long, long verse and poem just to say, we're really genuine. We want you to come over. 1,700 women wanted to dance with me, but I never thought it'd get to that scale. But I never thought it'd get to this scale either.
So 1,700 women want to dance with you is what you're told. And you said, how quickly can I get on that plane?
But wait, let me ask you this question. Did you think you were being set up? Because I think I would have been a little afraid of that. It sounds too good to be true, right?
Well, yeah, at first there was that little bit of skepticism thinking, is this true? And it was the invite that actually made me realise, no, these people
are
genuine.
Serious.
Yeah, and they really mean it. And I opened the Twitter account because I wasn't on social media because I felt sorry for the girls because I could feel some real concern in what they were writing.
Wait, you felt sorry for the girls?
Yeah, because I thought they were really concerned about me. So I wanted to just reach out to them to say, look, I'm okay. It was a bad night. It did affect me, but it's bushed off and I move on type of thing.
Oh,
so.
My God, I love him so much. You felt bad for them.
Yeah, because they were feeling bad for me, and I just wanted to reassure them that everything was okay. So
you open the Twitter account, and then these invitations start flying, and then it took on a life of its own. You're trending on Twitter, and then it was a big dance party, right? That was what the invite was initially for?
Yeah, it was just, I thought we'd be in a bar somewhere in LA, and it'd be a Friday night, and we'll just do things on it.
Right.
It'd be me and maybe 40 or 50 of the girls, which would have been a special evening. But then there's so many generous offers coming from artists and from the LA themselves that turned it into...
Explain what happened, the entire party.
Yeah,
and who was
there? Saturday night at the Avalon.
It was Saturday night, right.
Yeah, it was Saturday night at the Avalon. Moby spanned the discs. And,
Moby, okay.
No big deal.
Yeah,
just
no big
Moby.
Deal, yeah. Yeah. And Tropical kind of started it, and they killed the dance floor. They were fantastic. They did rock the house. Monica Lewinsky, go up and give
Monica
her,
Lewinsky?
Yeah, give her
was
a real
that the
personal.
All right.
Yeah,
okay. Real personal
she has her own bullying, anti-bullying campaign.
Yeah, because she's had that for so long. And,
sure.
There's a lot of different people who've gone through different stories as well, because we set up the Dance Free Movement out of this to get all sorts of people together. It's not just about body shaming. It's about all sorts, and everyone's there now to support each other. So we had Justin Dennis, we had Jamoke Hill, we had Matt Diaz. And they're legends to me because they're the ones who've stood up to it already, and they're the ones who've showed people that it's okay to be different.
And by the way, that's a great point, Sean, and I want to mention that again, because this dance-free movement that you're doing has really, I think, has done more to bring awareness to anti-bullying campaigns in the last few months than we've seen in a long time. And like you said, it's not just because of weight. It's people because of their race or people because of their religion or people because of their disabilities or of their sexual orientation. I mean, people get bullied for so many reasons. And I really feel like, partly thanks to you, Sean, that people are standing up and saying enough. It's not acceptable. It's not right. Now you're going to be shamed and you're going to be the outside if you're that type of person. We're not going to allow it anymore. I feel like the tide is kind of turning a little bit, don't you?
Well, yeah, definitely, because, again, we said at the time, this seemed to hit a chord with so many people. I mean, and again, it wasn't just the US or UK. It's all over the world. I mean, I've been speaking with Australia and Japan and Germany and Norway wanted, they're still trying to get in touch, and it's just amazing. And it is.
You're the spokesman for this whole thing. That's so crazy.
Everyone just wants to be positive and focus on the good as opposed to the bad, and that's all we will do. And everyone who supported it from day one is, total my respect.
What kind of work do you do back home in London, Sean?
I sit in an office. I work in finance for a hotel company. So
And has this been disruptive to you? Have you been away from work a lot because of all of the dance-free movement stuff you're doing?
I've been away for a week now, but my bosses at work, they're like my friends, and they've been so supportive from
day
one.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, they said they would have paid for the flight to come over the next day if I needed
no
to come
kidding.
Over to do something. They've been really supportive. Of
wow.
And now they're like, where's Sean? Oh, he's dancing again.
Right. So
I got to hire somebody else.
Party.
Work needs to be done.
You had a huge party. What else did you do? You were on the Today Show?
Yeah, it's been one day of magical surprises after another that I'm sure any American kind of person sure. would love to do so. It started with the Today Show, getting viewed by Carson Daly, dancing with Meghan Trainor on the stage.
Well, she is all about that bass.
Yes.
You know, you guys have something in common there.
It was. Then we had the party, and then I went to the Sunday with the Dodgers. I threw the first pitch at a baseball game, and I was a.
Now, did you know anything about baseball, Sean, when you walked out onto that field?
I knew what teams they were, and I knew kind of scores, and I knew the Dodgers were doing quite well this year. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking about them a bit of bad karma. So
how was your pitch? I didn't see video of the pitch. Did you make it across the plate?
Just made it there. Yeah, yeah. So I was quite proud. But that is some
good
distance.
For you.
You
yeah.
son of a bitch.
Yeah, Kevin didn't.
I've done it
do
twice and bounced it both times.
Yeah, so so after that, LA Coliseum then treated me to a picnic, an evening picnic on the pitch.
Oh, beautiful.
And then Dieter Von Teese picked me up at the hotel and took me to lunch.
It's not bad.
What's happening?
Not bad.
Sean, how will you continue your anti-bullying activism when this weekend is over and you get back home and you start going back to work? What do you think the future is of the Dance Free Movement?
Just being as supportive as we have been from day one and welcoming anybody who's got a story, who wants to hear it or who wants a bit of support to be there. I mean, me and Hope are talking about that in the car coming down. Actually, how do we take this the next steps forward? And that's why we partnered with some of these charities, because they've been doing it for years. And and hopefully some of this press and promotion we got, we can reflect onto them to get the people who are doing it for a living to really support us as well. So, yeah, we'll just do whatever we can.
Have you heard back from the original bullies?
No.
Nothing.
And it's funny because Cassandra, I mean, this is how sweet everyone's been. Cassandra said, if you're feeling good about yourself, you don't do that. So she's quite concerned about them, thinking they need a bit of support.
Yeah, hurt people. Yeah. It's as simple as that. So you've almost got to feel bad for these people that's what their life is. Yeah. They're obviously reaching out for something.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, it's all been good. Everything's been positive. And I say the city of LA, they couldn't have done no more to have made this really possible.
Well, you've got a beautiful spirit and a beautiful story, and you seem like such a nice man, Sean, and I'm glad that you were able to make it over here, and everybody was showing you a good time, and I just wish you nothing but success in the future. How can people reach out to you if they want to get in touch with you on social media?
I am on Twitter, and I'm on the Goodly app. There's a new app called Goodly, which has been released, which is all about positivity and supporting each other on the internet and trying to get rid of the trolls. So I am on them two sources at the moment. And then we've got the Dance Free Movement hashtag. So
on Twitter, you are Dancing Man Found?
Dancing Man Found, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was a good name to open the account with. So
sure. And the website is dancefreemovement.org. What yes. a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. Sean O'Brien,
thanks
for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
And it is on. If you want to join us for U2 at the Roxy tomorrow night, we're giving away tickets every 30 minutes up until 9 o'clock tonight. Courtney Lavender. Can that be her real name, you guys?
Bounce, chicka, bounce, bounce.
Right?
Bounce, chicka, bounce,
Courtney
bounce.
Lavender using her stage name to get through here at K-Rock today from
Watch
West Hills.
Watch Courtney Lavender take on everybody in the movie theater.
She will be with us tomorrow night at the Roxy for U2. Your chance to win coming up at 10 o'clock with Kat Corbett. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
I didn't know they showed these kinds of movies in this theater.
That's right, baby. And we know why you are here, because you love it, don't you? Guys are no fun. You know who is fun?
Who?
Louis Gossett Jr., bitches!
Okay, we're starting with Louis Gossett Jr.
That's right. Thank you to everyone for all the Powers of Matthew Star love. Because it was a classic!
Define classic.
One of the great, cheesy, bad sci-fi TV series of all time.
When was it on, Ralph?
I don't know.
All right. How many episodes
I watched it mostly in reruns. The Sci-Fi Channel used to run it endlessly. And I guess it was late 70s. I want to say it was around the original Battlestar Galactica era, when post Star Wars, every network tried to throw their science fiction soap opera on television.
Hey, and this is way successful. We should do something like it.
So I think ABC loaded up Battlestar Galactica, put that on the air in the late 70s. I'm pretty sure Matthew Starr might also have been ABC, but it was Louis Gossett Jr. playing the alien protector of the crown prince, Peter Barton, who had come to Earth to train to develop his super Starman powers.
Okay.
What is a nerd?
Why is this important?
Because it was awesome. And because it was also one of those TV shows that had a minute and a half long opening where it told you the entire story before you ever watched an episode. Those are my favorite TV openings of all time.
I'm sorry, I don't speak geek.
So to celebrate Louis Gossett Jr.'s 79th birthday today, we will worship at the altar of the powers of Matthew Starr.
Do we
hit have it, to? Steve!
Quadris, 12 light years across the galaxy from Earth. It was home for us until an intergalactic armada conquered it.
Right.
I fought by the royal family's side.
Good for you, Lou.
But in vain. Even their remarkable powers weren't enough.
Right.
The Crown Prince and I escaped to the nearest planet on which we could survive and further his powers in order to someday return to free his people.
Got it. Matthew Starr, the powers of
Here
Matthew
on Earth,
Starr.
The prince is known as Matthew Starr.
Yeah.
He's a typical American teenager.
Is this the whole episode?
He has friends.
His friends.
People who love him.
People love him.
And me, his guardian.
Ah,
I'm the only one who knows how special he is.
Right.
Life for us is a series of joys and dangers.
Why?
For enemy assassins constantly come to destroy us.
That's right.
Alone, we must survive.
That's the intro to the show.
That's the introduction before we even get into the show.
That's awesome.
Apparently, he was the only one that knew how special he was because it was on for one season.
Boom.
But what a season, Allie.
I'll
right?
say, right?
With? What year? Yeah. What year did the
1982.
Debut? 82. Okay, early 80s. Boy, was that a great show.
Nerd alert. Nerd alert.
He was an alien, and his name happened to be Matthew Starr. What are the odds?
Well, it's fiction.
Oh, that's right.
So 100%. Pretty good.
Matthew Starr, powers of Matthew Starr.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
You want to hear that beginning
no.
again?
No, we don't.
There he is. That's Matthew Starr now.
It's just a dude in a white onesie.
Stop. You don't know.
Oh, my God.
That's his spacesuit. You don't get it.
Okay.
Peter Barton was dreaming.
Just so you know, I'm not a total nerd. I also happen to be super into close-up magic.
Matthew Starr, powers of Matthew Starr. You want to hear it one more time? Just
nope,
the intro, just to make
not.
Sure?
Nope.
Okay.
I feel like we've covered it.
Quadris.
Quadris.
12 light years 12 across light the galaxy years. From
across
Earth.
The galaxy. Right.
It was home for us
right.
until
home.
An intergalactic armada
conquered. War.
I fought by the royal family's side.
The royal family was there.
But in vain.
Where's the crown prince?
Even their remarkable powers weren't enough.
What about the crown prince?
The crown prince and I escaped to the nearest planet on which we could survive and further his powers in order to someday return to free his people.
Yes.
All right, great. That's great.
What? What?
Powers of Matthew Starr. They're the powers of Matthew Starr.
Here on Earth, the prince is known as Matthew Starr.
All right.
He's a typical American teenager.
Typical.
He has friends.
Yeah.
People who love him.
But.
And me.
Right.
His guardian.
Yeah. And
I'm the only one who knows how special he is.
He is special.
Life for us is a series of joys and dangers.
Mm-hmm.
For enemy assassins constantly come to destroy us. Alone, we must survive.
Powers of Matthew Starr.
Ralph, if you don't pipe down, I'm giving you an F.
Kris Jenner's in the news today.
Really?
Yes.
That's weird.
According to sources close to the Kardashian family, she is living in fear of... Anyone fill in the blank?
Not being famous?
There's that, of course. Losing her nose.
What are you talking about?
Her nose has had so many procedures done on it, cosmetic procedures, that it's starting to collapse in on itself. She's using
like Michael Jackson's
face
did.
Brace while she sleeps.
A face brace?
Yeah, she's like a face mold.
Okay.
So she doesn't roll over and just push her nose into her skull. And so she's looking for a surgeon who specializes in this because she is scared to death. She's going to end up looking like Michael Jackson, as being mentioned, also had his nose collapse in because of too many procedures. How great would it be,
if
Kris Jenner's nose fell off? If she was just the red skull, just a big, big hole in the middle of her head where her nose used to be. Would that be the greatest thing ever?
That would
she
be
had
the
to
greatest
go around
thing
with
ever.
A fake nose?
It would. It would be the greatest thing
It'd
ever.
It'd be the greatest thing ever. Please,
and
God. Dear God, I know we don't talk very often. I may not be on your naughty or nice list. I don't know how you work. But
it's just like Santa.
I don't ask for much, but I do ask for this, dear God, all-powerful, high in the heavens. Make Kris Jenner's nose fall off. Liberty and justice for all. Amen.
Yeah. You know, her daughters would not be able to hang out with her if she looked freakish either.
Oh.
Because they only hang out with pretty people.
Going around with one of those plastic noses that they have to put on with magnets. They embed magnets in your skull so your nose will stay
That's
on.
That's a thing?
Yes, Kevin!
A magnet nose?
Magnet nose.
That's
new
awesome.
New from Ideal. All the kids love it. And you have to take it off and you have to clean out your face holes every night before you go to bed. Oh, yeah. It's a thing.
Nope.
It's a thing, my son.
Nope.
Thing. Mm-mm. Kris Jenner. Magnet nose. Sounds like another series from the 80s.
Quadris. 12 light years across the galaxy from Earth.
The powers of magnet nose. We're silly, aren't we? Today's celebrity birthday is actor Chris Colfer from Glee is 25 years old today. Andre 3000 of Outkast turns 40. Jack McBrayer, so funny on 30 Rock. I miss that 30 Rock show.
I do too.
That
was funny.
I loved that each and every week. Paul Bettany's 44. Joseph Fiennes of the acting Fiennes Brothers, who's 45 years old today. Todd Bridges, the last remaining stroke of all the different ones. He is 50 years old. Comedian Adam Carolla turns 51. And as we mentioned, Louis Gossett Jr., 79 years old today.
Quadris.
Internet 12 light years
across the galaxy from Earth.
12 light years
it
away.
It was home for us until an intergalactic armada conquered it. I fought by the royal family's
good
side.
For you, Lou.
All right.
He fought by their side.
He did, but
and he brought him back to the only planet that was inhabitable where he could learn his powers in hopes of returning back to his planet and freeing his people. Matthew Starr, powers of Matthew Starr.
So, do we just assume that all the people on his home planet wear onesies, or is that just a space travel thing, or
it's
what?
It's a special spacesuit. It's not a onesie.
It's a onesie.
Oh, if I had Matthew Starr's powers, you'd all be in trouble right now.
Open up a blog.
Right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Dr. Drew on the program. We have Jim Rome talking sports. We have comedian Greg Proops in the studio. And we're going to talk to Dave Duchovny about his new show, Aquarius.
Looks so good.
It's tomorrow morning. And we have your final pair of tickets to see you two at The Rock.